listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Oh no, Monsieur Jacques.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I heard this loud buzzing. Was that me or you?
I don't know. It might have been me. I just had to leave the room for a second, but I'm back.
All right. Welcome to the Fakeologist.com audio server.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes, I found you, or you found me on the tweeters.
I did,
And you said some very interesting things in your direct message, and I thought, boy, this sounds like a smart guy. You're using words bigger than I use. So.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I've learned it over the years. There's a lot of words that people don't really know. I got a lot of it from Mark Passio, and IPS even gets into this a bit too. I don't need to name all my sources. That's just off the top of my head when it comes to things that people should know the definitions of, especially when it comes to knowing your rights and being able to read the exemptions of in laws and stuff. Like, there's a lot of work to be done just to sort of catch up with the language to even fully understand what's going on.
You're totally right. Where in the world are you from?
London, Ontario.
Oh, wow.
I'm an Ontarian. You are too, right?
Say again?
I believe that you're an Ontarian too. I think I heard you say that in maybe you're talking with Mark Friesen. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Toronto.
Cool. I'm just going to plug in my headset because it's getting a little low on battery. Just want to make sure it's in.
Go ahead.
Give me one moment.
Yeah, you're crystal clear. Probably sounds better than I do.
Maybe. I just didn't want it to cut off is all. So what I was mentioning, would you like me to start just where I was coming from?
I just want to know a little bit who I'm talking to. You're
okay.
Jacquois Blade. And what is the meaning of that? This might as well start at the beginning.
Sure. My name's Jacob. When I was a teenager, my name was written on a blackboard, and the B in Jacob looked like an I and an S. So my friend just called me Jacquois, and it just stuck. Or Jacquois. Doesn't really matter.
Good story.
I ended up moving to Montreal for a few years, so when people hear that, they think that that's where the nickname came from because I'm French, but I'm not French. I just happen to live there, but I had the nickname for years since I was a teenager. So it's nothing really, it's just nickname.
No, of course. My name doesn't mean anything either.
You're a fakeologist.
Yes, sorry, it does have some meaning, you're right. My actual Christian name means very little, but I think I was named after my godfather, my dad's best friend, so there you go.
Okay. So I think I'd actually found you initially through Tim Osmond, Infinite Plane Society. I think I tried finding him on Twitter, but I thought the account I Am a Fakeologist was him for a while. When I realized it wasn't, that's when I just started to follow you, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Fakeologist was taken by some cyber squatter, perhaps, or it was a coincidence. I don't know. So I just use I'm a Fakeologist, so it's not a big deal, really. I don't value Twitter because I know they could pull the plug at any time, but it's a great place to find microbloggers. That was the original intent of Twitter, is microblogging, and it is super powerful because it's quite easy for most people to set up and get using, and I just like all the variety of people on there. So.
Right.
Twitter kicks me off, I will definitely come back as something else, even though they said that violates their TOS, terms of service. But I will come back, because I don't have enough followers to even matter anyhow on Twitter, which I have no idea why, but that's fine.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. I mean, I'm following you. I'd miss you if you were gone, maybe. You know, it's all good.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I miss you too.
Thanks. So what I was talking about was, like, when I used to essentially go along with mainstream media for most of my life until back in 2017 I got into the flat earth topic. Now, I'm not a flat earther now. I would just say I'm shape agnostic. I don't believe it's a ball, but the flat earth thing is, in my opinion, just a massive psyop. So what happens is you get the people like the I can't even remember the names anymore, which is not, I'm not I think that's good that I can't remember their names. What was that main guy? His name was Mark, right? I forget his last name.
Mark Sargent.
Thank you,
and
Mark Sargent.
I called the number at the end of his video because I thought it was strange you would put your phone number on there. I didn't expect anyone to pick up. He picked up. I was allegedly his first interview, and therefore I got tarred and feathered with being an enabler and a promoter. But it was really, I was just practicing doing some phone interviews, and I had the recorder on Skype working. And I just wanted to see if it worked. And it all happened organically, and we just started talking. But
I believe you. But that's sort of the problem. And that is what I'm trying to address here, just in general with COVID, is that this guilt by association, because people will whitewash a lot. This is what these labels and the whole divide and conquer type strategy. It's like, you know this person, therefore you think like this person. I dismiss the first person you talk to, so I'll dismiss you too. That's not logical. That's not, I mean, you might be right sometimes. I'm not going to say that's not the case, but to do that for everybody, it's causing a real problem. And you can see it happening with the COVID narrative. Because you got your names in the Flat Earth, which I bought into it for the first about 6 months until I came across some more logical Flat Earthers. Like, I won't name them because, you know, I don't want to name, like, let people figure it out for themselves. This is kind of what I'm here for.
Well, I don't mind if you name them because I'm a baller skeptic because all I know for sure is you can lie to everyone in the world and never get caught. So if they're lying about the shape of the earth, I know they're never going to get caught. So it almost doesn't matter what we say and what we speculate because their secret is locked in. They don't have to worry about anyone figuring it out.
Fair point. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I think I feel confident enough, listen to anybody I want. And I don't feel like it doesn't really matter to me whether they're a shill or controlled op or not, because I just have a baseline that everybody, including you, no offense, but just anyone I talk to or read about online, I assume that they're controlled op or shill until proven otherwise. So if they say something interesting, so if they say something interesting or something I didn't know, that's great. They're a source of information and then I can verify it. But this thing has been real. Yeah. So what I can say is, like, we'll use COVID for an example of Chris Skye, let's say. Everything he says is correct as far as I can tell, just about. He's very articulate.
I agree.
He knows his shit, and he said a lot of things that have helped me out as far as, like, what to say, as far as mask exemptions. I can't think of a lot of specific things, but he nails it on a lot of things. Like, he'll say it, and then I'll go and I verify as much as I can, or the things that interest me, and he's pretty much bang on and everything, right? But at the same time, we all know he's a very eccentric, kooky, over-the-top person that we've never heard of before. So just knowing how the average person operates, and both by through my experience and how I used to be, I still am to a certain extent, but how I used to be, where how a person presents themselves is more important than the actual information they're presenting. So we got some people that can verify what he's saying, but that's frankly not enough when you're dealing with people en masse who, that's one of the most important things. Like I need to know what their credentials are. They need to speak correctly. They need to not be able to swear. Like these things, and it's different for everybody. Reasons to dismiss, right? So I'm sure you know about, like the Trivium, I'm assuming.
Yes, and by the way, I just want to make a comment on what you just said. You said you employed some NLP. I'm sure you know what that means.
I employed it, I said the word?
You use some NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, in what you just told me, which could be considered suspicious. You said we all know, which of course is not true. We don't all know everything, so we all don't know that he is, whatever you said about Chris Guy after that. Just pointing it out, because I'm okay that you're suspicious with me. I'm suspicious with everyone too, and my wife says that I get fooled all the time. She said, you're actually not very good at what you do, because says, I can see through that guy. And I said, really? Really? That's amazing. Okay. I'm fine. I can take the criticism.
Fair point.
And as Marcus Allen said, who I don't think is talking to me anymore for the fifth time, he said I lost my train of thought because I just wanted to make that snide comment about him. Anyway, it'll come back to me about controlled opposition because his list of controlled opposition is longer than most phone books. So he's super suspicious.
All the more reason to just assume they're controlled until proven otherwise. And yeah, I assume that about me for sure. I think most everybody I listen to says, don't trust me, verify what I say, and I'll say the same thing because I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, and Alex Jones says that, and all the references go back to his website when you do a search, which is actually good marketing. He said, just look up Turning the Frogs Gay, and you end up on InfoWars.
Right. I mean, fair enough. I don't really listen to Alex Jones. I mean, I've listened to him, but it's hard to verify anything he says. Like, when you're talking about gay frogs and cytokine storms, I don't know. He's a little over, he's like a Chris Sky, which doesn't surprise me when I saw Chris Sky on his show, these eccentric, over-the-top people. Now, of course, there's great excuses to be used for that, legitimate ones, that these people that are willing to get in front of the camera, get in front of crowds, probably would be more likely to be people that are comfortable doing that, that have had training like that, that have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the barrier to entry on public speaking is absolutely huge. I don't really have the... hold on one second.
Sure.
Sorry. If you get a phone call, Discord won't let you know, and I'll just go away. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. Yep. It's fine.
Of course, my work... go ahead.
So, I'd just like to say, Chris Sky was at the top of my sort of list here of things that not like an actual list, not top of my list, but I can name other people like I don't want to seem like this is a bashing him session, but I think like Rocco Velotti, as much as he's saying that's correct and the legal forms he's filling out are good, that given the amount of delays, this is July, June 2020 with nothing really happening. I can see how it would be possible that these delays are happening because he's working in tandem with the people he's allegedly trying to go against. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but it's certainly it's plausible. Randy Hillier.
Overdue Revolution said the same thing. That's a guy named Kieran. I wanted him to come on the show, my show. He didn't want to do it. And now Chris Sky found his blog, and they're going at it back and forth, which I find interesting. Right, but yeah, right. I agree with you, for sure. I didn't realize that Rocco Galati was involved with the Toronto 18. Do you remember that story?
No, I'm not too familiar with that.
Oh, apparently we allegedly had Muslims planning to blow up Via Rail a few years ago. And that was a plot that was allegedly uncovered. And guess who was involved with the defense? Rocco Galati. So I didn't know that the minute I heard that. And if he's mixed up in what I think are phantom psyops, pretty sure that he's not on the good side.
That may very well be the case. Now, I'll temper that with a little, just to say that there might be higher expectations by the average person of these figureheads because they're not doing everything perfect and it's not happening fast enough. So that might also be the case. So I don't want to whitewash they're all shills. I'm just saying it's very possible that any one of them could be. They could be genuine.
I call that blackwash. Yeah, I call that blackwashing.
Blackwashing, whitewashing. Okay, maybe.
I think it is called blackwashing. It's a intelligent term.
Okay, so black is through you're tarring everybody, and whitewash is hey, they're not that bad. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. So you blackwash them if they're involved in dirty things. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, either way, I don't really want to do either.
It is suspicious. This case.
I think everyone should be suspicious of everyone that they don't know personally.
Well, we're also in the biggest psyop in the history of the world right now. So this is, everyone is scrambling and everyone is in it. It's not like you can't be involved. You have to be involved in this psyop even if you're just locked in your parents' basement. This is going to affect you. It's not like 9/11 or the Toronto 18 or JFK or any of the other ones. You could easily ignore all of them. Oh, a little break here.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
Priya.
Hi, this is Errol C.
Naeem.
Rick from Fort Macquarie.
I'm Eric.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Jacques, I don't know if you've ever listened to our audio chats, but those are all people that we've had on this chat. We're coming up to 1,000 audio chats in the last 9 years.
What do you mean, all these people? Sorry? You said all these people have been on your...
Yeah, all those voices you just heard, they've all been on this audio chat.
Like those in that commercial, that was a cacophony of voices, is what you're saying?
That have been on this audio chat, that is correct.
Okay, I couldn't really tell, but okay, cool, neat. So I'm going to be on there one day, mixed in with all the other voices?
Well, you have to record a demo. If you don't have to, but you're welcome to record a bumper, and then you could be on that highly esteemed list of people. And
nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know. You not heard the show?
No, I wasn't aware of that. I've heard the show a couple times. Like I listened to your show, but I
oh, good.
Didn't know that. Fair enough.
Well, the audio chat is something separate from my main show. I have two audio streams. This is the audio chat where anyone at any time can come in and start talking about what's going on. PsyOps, it's recorded. We're being broadcast now live on my IceCast streamer around the world. So it's,
okay.
There's no other site like my site, just to toot my own horn a bit, toot. But that's what makes this site unique. So we talk about all these things.
Well, I do find it a little impressive that you made your own kind of website like that. That's nothing I'm too familiar with, but I like the idea of having your own place to hold stuff. Yeah, for sure. Good for you.
Everybody should do it, because nobody should be the guest of some free service, because we know one button and poof, you don't exist anymore. Everyone should do it.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, recently kicked off Facebook. Anyways, I'm out of there. So all I did was post the hospital's, whatever they call it, their own, what do they call that? Policy on the masks. And I posted what it was in a private group, and I got banned for it. So I think I was just a couple days after they called the election, so it might be tied in with that. I'm not sure. It's not like I post a lot of stuff controversial on Facebook, knowing the way it is, right? Like, same with YouTube. I'll be a little conservative when I'm putting stuff on and put, you know, stuff that I think will get banned on, like, other stuff, right?
These places are a giant energy sink, because you put all your time in, you make posts, you try and do your best, and then next thing you know, you're either ghosted or deleted. Ghosting is the worst, because you think everyone sees your stuff, and nobody does.
Right. Shadow ban, like that? Yeah, I've heard of that happening
to
people. If it's happened to me, I haven't caught it, so who knows.
Yeah, most people don't check. They don't log in anonymously and check to see if they left a poop. Basically, they take a poop in those places, they don't turn around, and next thing you know, it doesn't exist. It happens to me all the time, so I really put the fewest amount of words. Everything I put on my own website, even if Google won't search my website anymore, which is fine, it's still there. If anyone actually remembers the website name, I have a search bar. It doesn't go through Google, and you can look within my own sphere or my own domain and see what's there. So
right. Well, who knows what they're going to... I don't think they are going to ever... I might have got this idea from IPS, but just I don't think they're ever going to really shut down the Internet. I think there's going to be some restrictions, but there'll always be workarounds. And then there might even be, like, some goofy fake reason, like a hacker or an EMP or aliens that shut it down for, like, a couple days just to... shock people. But I think the whole idea of keeping it off for extended period of time doesn't really fit the control structure they're putting in.
No.
So,
no, they
can't. I mean, it might be if they go to 1984 style, just one channel on TV or one internet site that's just the government. I mean, then they might, I just don't think they're going to do it, because it's too much repetition required. Like, as far as just constantly bombarding people with messages on every sort of outlet they can, kind of thing. So it seems very pivotal to what's going on the internet. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Who knows? They could do whatever they want, as far as I can tell. Just shut it right off. What are you going to do?
Well, they can't shut. It's a spider web. You can't take the whole web down. It's the whole design of the internet. If one node goes out, there are some big pipes and some big confluence points in the spider web, but you can't shut it down. Every computer is networked 1,000 ways to Sunday. You can't shut it down, but you can put up all kinds of walls and break connections and firewalls. Like, I get almost no one from China coming to my website, which to me is proof that there is some kind of firewall. Now, that doesn't mean the Chinese can't see my website. They just don't do it through their Chinese IP address. They come through proxy. So I might have lots of Chinese. And we know that half the Anglo-American Empire, which controls China, is in China working, building that country into a place that looks like Disney World right now. We only get glimpses of it through the media, but that they're building that country out in incredible ways. And I really actually wanted to visit China to see the marvels of what they're building there. But most North Americans have no idea what's happening there, and probably never will now.
I agree. I mean, most people don't even know what's happening in their own fucking doorstep, so.
Yeah, well, everyone thinks Ford is bringing down the, everyone thinks Doug Ford, a label salesman who probably never made any money on his own. His daddy gave him all the money. This happens with most rich children, by the way. It's not just Ford, but if you're given stuff, you don't tend to get off your ass to do anything. It's just human nature. They all think he's the one that's bringing down all these tyrannical measures in Ontario, but it's obviously not true. He has almost nothing to do with it.
Well, I'd certainly say the one thing that Doug, see if you agree with me on this or not, the thing that Doug Ford and his ilk have gotten that the average person hasn't gotten, sure, money, but I don't think that's relevant here. I think it's more the education that he got, essentially the trivium, the liberal arts, right from essentially when he learned how to read and write, and he had to study, like, this is what they do in the private schools that was removed from the public education. And I'm sure you know about, but you may or may not know about the Prussian mimicry system or whatever, which is essentially brought over, right? So, that is the core of this whole issue, in my opinion, of what's going on in the world, is that people are believing things that aren't true. And if that wasn't the case, there wouldn't be this problem. Like, a lot of people, I go to protests myself, but it's not so much to protest, it's to talk to the protesters and try to see where their heads are at, because I thought it might be easier to talk to a protester than a mainstream person who believes COVID. But it's actually the exact same. They can't articulate what the problem is and how to solve it or what their goal is. It seems to be that 90% of the people at protests that I talk to say they need more people. And it's like, well, what are you going to do with the more? And they're like, well, I don't know. We just need more and then it'll all end. And it's like, that's the limit of what they're there for. They just want more people. So we got London here, and we have our little protest every Saturday. It's not really so much affiliated but with any other groups, but every once in a while is a big one, and it's because they're coming from, like, Hugs Over Mass or Mothers Against Distancing or whatever the fuck these groups are called, The Line. And what they do is they bring in a bunch of people. They bring in the talking heads. You got your, I forget her name, Kristen Nagel from the hospital. They got, like, Pastor Hildebrandt. I don't think Hillier showed up, but Sky's supposed to show up in, like, a week or two, allegedly, a rumor anyways. But it's these large groups coming, and then there's, like, you know, 200 to 400 people, depending on the event. And then the locals get excited and, like, yeah, this is good. And it's just like, none of these people are from London. We're not waking anybody up. This is just, a big social.
A red mob.
Which is fine. Like, I think there's something about the protest which is good, is that you can, for the other people, I try to listen to them, to what they're saying, because not a lot of people have people that'll give them the time of day during the week. I certainly don't. I find it very hard to find people that I can, outside of online, that will actually give me the time of day in these conversations. I'm making some headway with my neighbors. They're starting to come around, so that's nice. But, a lot of people that show up these protests, they just want to talk. They just want to talk and go through everything in the past year. And that's very therapeutic, and I think that's a great thing. I think that's probably the best, maybe even the only good thing to come out of these protests, is to give some people a feeling like I'm not alone, and that's very important. But the actual, what their goals are, they don't even know. How they're going to do it, all they're saying is more. So it's a real problem there. So I'm trying to futilely trying to turn some people around, but I'm slowly getting some people to realize that I think I am anyways, that I might be making some good points, and I'm starting to introduce some people to the trivium, but I've been ignored for the past year, really. So it's interesting. Well, this is my take on that. Go ahead.
The trivium is a tough one. You're really getting back into the past, and basically you're telling people that they're not equipped to understand any of this because the people that rule over us have all the educational tricks, they have the rhetoric, they have all the human manipulation elements at their disposal, and we don't even know that we're being spellcast by them because we've never heard of any of this stuff. For instance, I used to harp on the 9/11 PSYOP for many years because it was the only one I could easily relate to other people, and I said, you gotta know this PSYOP because it just proves that everyone can be hypnotized. And
right.
The next thing they use, and I have no idea what it is, but you have to think that they've had at least 19 years, so they're working on something. I don't know what it is, but it's
right.
Coming, so don't think they just sit back and say, that's it, we're done with society. It's
right,
a dynamic
right.
thing. So the minute this one looked like it was going to be go time, and I guess I had to wait till March 311. That's when I knew.
Yep.
I said to people around me, I said, okay, now it looks like you're going to have to pick a side. And I even kind of put an egg timer on in my head saying, if this keeps going, I can tell I'm going to have to make a big decision. I'm going to be pushed out of my job. Over this, probably within
right.
a year or two. Now it's gone
right.
on a little longer, so, but it could be any day. Like, I'm just waiting for the day now that I'm told if I don't capitulate, then I'm out. And I'm ready for it financially. I'll be okay for a while, but it just depends on what the next plan that they have for us. And this is all planned out by the month.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. By the week. If I could see a chart on a wall somewhere, it would be by the week. I guarantee it.
I'm sorry,
all
by
their
the
goals.
Week, though.
The controllers have this planned out by the week. They have all the talking points, the schedule, everything is planned out by the week. Nothing is happening by chance. Like all the rogue states, all the back and forth, all the policies that they're laying forth, they're all, I guarantee, it's all planned out by the week. They don't even care what the public's response is. It's totally irrelevant. And when a lot of these, what some people call grifters, like, I'm not saying Chris Guy's a grifter, but he's just the most famous guy in Canada right now. Whenever they do something and try and take credit for making a change to the elite schedule, I say, well, that's really great of you to think, but there's just no way you are having any influence at the moment. Because the biggest threat to all of us is all of us. It's the majority mob mentality. They're the ones that are dangerous because they have this idea in their head and it's really hard to get it out of their heads. So to me, it's the majority that are really dangerous because they have this seed of terror in their head and they're loose basically. The mob is loose right now.
Certainly seems that way. Personally, like my experience is like going to, like I've never worn a mask before, I go everywhere, but the amount of actual confrontations I have been very low, like angry people, like there's always a confrontation depending how you want to define confrontation, you know, somebody confronts me and then we have a little back and forth and then they let me in, you know, there's occasionally people that get mad and might yell, but it's a very small percentage of the time. And I feel like I handle myself pretty well. Like I'm well aware of how my emotions work and that when I'm frustrated, like I try my best not to, you know, get into the emotional part and sort of yell back. I you know, very polite and I'll leave if I see it's getting too rough, but then I'll always go back if I leave. I'll leave and then I'll call their, customer service line. Like I did this at Shoppers and Canadian Tire, talked to one of their human resource people and they always agree with me and they contact the store and say, no, you can't do that. So it has been working out so far by actually, you know, I am following the rules. I am following the law. I've just never worn a mask. You know what I mean? So
very
the problem
good.
Here,
very
yeah, thank you. And I learned a lot of this from like Rocco Galati, from Chris Sky, from, I got templates from, I think it was, Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, maybe, but they had a template for sort of what you should say and how you should word things. Now, I took some out because I didn't feel like I tailored it to me, essentially. But, you know, whether or not they're shills or whether or not they're controlled up, all that kind of nonsense is irrelevant. They gave me information. I, you know, studied it and, you know, figured it out the best way to do it. And then I put it into practice and it worked. So I'm in no way trying to say these people are all bad or are shills. I'm just saying I'm aware that they very well could be because as soon as they got people's trust, like, you can't be betrayed by somebody you don't trust. You can't even be duped by somebody you don't trust, really, because you're taking them at their word. And when you got somebody like a Randy Hillier or even Mark Friesen, I like Mark Friesen, I don't like saying his name, but, like, badly, but I feel like he's in over his head.
I like Mark, still.
Yeah, I feel like he's in over his head and he's sort of making some justifications or to, you know, because for the greater good mentality, like, well, we have to let these little things slide because we need to win. I think he's, that's just my impression. I may be reading his facial expressions, but, you know, if you're a shill or a control op, like, I know how to do this too. I do this not all the time, but I utilize things like put certain expressions on my face to give people the impression, depending who I'm talking to. I know about how crossing your arms or legs can make you feel like, if you're talking to someone who knows what they're talking about, it might seem like you're reserved or holding back, and sometimes I want to give people that impression, just like an NLP kind of thing. Like, I've never studied NLP, but essentially it's that thing. Like, even telling a story and exaggerating it just, you know, because you're trying to make someone laugh or you're trying to get them on your side. Like, these subtle things, we do it all the time. It's just being able to recognize both when I'm doing it, so I can not do it as much, right? And then, and when I can see other people doing it, so that I can either call them out on it or, you know, scrutinize them a little bit more. Like, these are important things to know. And when I brought up the trivium, what I really, I don't use it, the word as a trivium unless it's, the conversation's been going on long enough, but essentially that is just the scientific method. And so I can start in a conversation by differentiating between science as an institution and science as a method. Because the scientific method isn't even as well known, let alone the trivium, right?
Yeah. Did you ever listen to John Taylor Gatto on the trivium?
Yes.
Yeah, I found him fantastic. I think that was Richard Grove, who was a bit of a 9/11 shill, incidentally. But he interviewed John Taylor Gatto. I thought it was really good, really well done, very interesting guy. Even though I think he was already had a stroke by the time he was interviewed, it was a little difficult to listen to when someone's disabled, but it's so good. Such a smart guy, and obviously he's just a rare, rare person in the world.
I have one or some of his videos just on my YouTube channel in the playlist. I have a trivium kind of playlist, so yeah, he's in there as well. I've listened to, you know, and not extensively on everybody, but, you know, I feel like I think the rhetoric is the real thing that I have the biggest issue with, because, well, I'm not very convincing. I mean, I still have an ego. I used to be a lot more sarcastic than I am right now, but the sarcasm is still kind of there as an accent, even when I'm being serious. So it's like how I present the information is definitely something that I need to work on. I feel like I'm a, you know, compared to the layman, I feel like an expert when it comes to logical fallacies and being able to sort of separate the subjective and objective from the information that I'm taking in. I certainly feel like I'm really decent at that. But the rhetoric thing that's a challenge for me.
I know, I haven't studied it, but, that's something we could talk about in the future for sure. Yeah, any links you have? We have a text channel called Livestream Show Notes, and just put them in there.
Okay.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
We do a break every 20 minutes.
Yep, that's fine.
The top of the hour.
I understand.
Yeah, you're getting the drift. You seem like a smart guy. You sound like a young guy. My guess is you're in your 30s.
No, 41.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. You're a smart guy. Wow. It's fun when we get smart people at Fakeologist. I would say most of the people here are really smart, just really interesting people. We have many regulars here. I really invite you to explore the website because, like I said, this is going to be episode 950-something of the audio chat, and each audio chat is minimum, or average rather, 3 hours. We've had some that are 6 hours, so if you have a job where you can just play it in the background, you'll hear some really interesting stuff, and people from all over the world have been here and left voice prints and thoughts, and some are here longer than others, some come, some go.
Right.
It's been fascinating. I think I have agents that come here and talk to me.
I'd have no doubt about that, yeah.
It's just amazing, actually. Now, because I know of all, I think I know of most of the tricks of the trade. I don't fall for as much as maybe I might have at the very beginning, but like I think I'm aware of most psychological operation tactics. And this,
right,
of course, is language that almost nobody else in the world, in the regular world, knows about. They have no idea that we're in the middle of a spell right now, a hex. And that's all the intelligence agencies do on behalf of the elite. They just cast spells over people and they're hypnotized for life. It's quite stunning, actually.
Yep, and as I understand it, just to make sure we're talking about the same thing, like when you take spells, you're just talking about like influencing people to believe things,
yeah,
that aren't true in certain ways. Yeah, so it's much easier to say if they're casting a spell or they're utilizing sorcery. Dark occultists are utilizing,
yeah,
sorcery, but at the same time, to explain that sentence could take, you know, like a page of writing. So it's good to know these terms when we're talking amongst like-minded people. But the trick that,
yeah,
I don't know if this is a trick, but I've seen it recently, that what needs to happen is when you're talking to people that aren't of our ilk, the definitions need to be removed. And instead of saying the word spellcasting or occult, we need to say more like, you know, information that's being hidden from the masses, rather than, like, people who hide information from the masses, rather than call them occultists, because if you have to sit there and define every word, it'll take longer than just saying the definition, adding the definition to the sentence. So that's something I'm going to start toying with a little bit, because I'm somewhat aware of it, but I think I use too many words that just people don't know what I'm saying, and that's sort of the rhetoric,
yeah,
problem. It's no good if people don't know what I'm saying. If the only people that know what I'm saying are those that already know it, you know, I mean, like, that's not really my goal here. You know what I mean?
Well, have you seen the blog that I don't know if you, I posted, Kieran's blog. He's another Canadian. He might be from Toronto. His blog is, I believe, overduerevolution.wordpress.com. Something like that. And have you seen any of his public speeches? Cause he'll talk about the black nobility, the Venetians that are in control of the world. And even though he knows what he's talking about, and I find it really interesting, I guarantee that almost nobody, and I mean nobody, that he's speaking to has any idea what he's saying or,
right,
how it's even relevant to what's happening. But I,
right,
love it because I love history. I love knowing who's in control, because that's the number one thing I always get asked, even by my own father. He says, well, who are they? Who's doing this? I said, Pops, if I knew and I could say it in a sentence, I'd tell you. But I'm still trying to figure it out myself every day. I get another tiny piece of the puzzle and try and find where to put it. But
and right there, you just articulated the what I see as the main problem right there, is people want the conclusion first, and then they'll think about looking how they got to the conclusion. But,
yeah,
you know, they won't really question the conclusions until they hear a better one. You know what I mean? It's like they hear the first thing they hear, they got it locked in. Now, I'm generalizing, of course. But to show you an example of that, when the mask thing came out last year in July here in, at least where I live in London, what I sort of put a mental hourglass, I forget how we use some kind of term, not an hourglass, yeah, a mental hourglass, where essentially I was only going to sort of protest the mask for like 60 days, because I've done enough research that sort of, it looks like to be about 21 to 66 days for people to form a habit. So I would say an addiction is just a habit that you don't want. So after 66 days, people aren't taking the mask off regardless. And the bottom line is, if we are still this free country, or I want us to go back to being a free country, however you want to word it, it's people's right to wear a mask. So when I was out initially, it's like, masks are voluntary and harmful. Ask me why. And I would walk around with the sign, just going around my street and going up and down the crescent.
Oh, that's really neat.
But after a couple months, I backtracked. Not backtracked, but it's just like, there's no point. Like, people are going to keep them on it. All it's going to do is divide us. Because I see no reason, like, this is one thing I point out to the protesters, that there's no reason that somebody double vaccinated and wearing a mask can't be at that protest saying they're against them being mandatory. But a lot of the protesters are like, take that mask off, or like, don't get the vaccine, which is fine. I mean, they're making some points, but they're also alienating people. They're pushing people away. They're cementing them into their wrong think.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah, I thought about that myself. I thought the battle of the masks has been lost. I have the unmask, which is sort of a phony mask, but I realize that now there's just no convincing people, and do I want to get into an argument to get in this building? Do I have the time? Because I'm super busy. I have a job. I work almost every day of the week, so I don't have time to get slowed down. I don't even have time for the printer at the gas station not to give me my receipt. I won't even go in and get it because I don't have time to line up because I just don't. I'm still busy enough that I just don't have time for any nonsense. And this is even before COVID. So I don't even want to exchange one word with anyone to slow me down on anything. So I agree with you 100%. The mask war, has been lost. It's cemented. I'll only challenge my own children. I said, please don't put this on when you're around me, when we're outside. If you don't have to, I don't. It really upsets me because, you know, I gave you your gorgeous face and I don't like it covered. And they usually capitulate, but that's a really good point. That's a really good point of yours, what you just said about habits and the time taken. So that's, now, I'm going to be interrupted in a minute, so you can hang on, but just know that my audio might cut out for a second. But
thanks for that.
I wanted to talk about the event in London with the it's the only PSYOP that I've ever heard in London, Ontario, where they said that.
So go ahead.
I'm just wondering
which one.
It's the guy that was from Strathroy that came into town and allegedly ran over Muslims on the sidewalk.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if you've ever considered, or if you would consider that a completely staged event. I call them hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real, and I think that's just a staged event. So I'm just wondering, as a Londoner, what you thought, and if you considered that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have considered it. I'd go one step further and say the entire thing was a hoax, that nobody died. There was no blood on the ground or the truck. There was no damage to the truck. It didn't show any of the victims. The way they portrayed it, one of the witnesses was somebody who didn't even see it but was a reporter that drove by afterwards. The witnesses are absolutely ridiculous when you start to look into them. And there's no proof of anything happening. That's the whole problem. There's zero evidence.
Okay.
It's all just conjecture. It's all just we know the answer and we know it was hate-filled, but they won't tell you how they know that. And it's like the whole thing is just a complete bullshit. And this is all the more reason with how I deal with people online, not deal with them, but my mental framework, my MO, that everybody's a shill until proven otherwise, that I don't believe shit until, you know, there's proof. At least something, like even a video that maybe showed blood on the ground, then I could say, maybe, you know, fair enough, I could say maybe, but I'm not even saying fucking maybe. There's absolutely nothing tangible in the whole story.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Oh, good.
2 days later, they got a big thing with all, you know, every single political leader and this massive crowd of like three, I went to it, just because I wanted to, bullshit. I knew it was bullshit and I wanted to see how it played out.
Cool.
And so I'm walking through the crowd kind of thing. I'm not wearing a mask. This one guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, you have to wear a mask. Or hey, and he's holding out a box and they're like, no thanks, I'm good. And he goes, but you have to. So I was like, fine. So I take his mask and just drop it on the ground and say, thank you. Thank you for the mask. And then he just stares at me and he walks away. But I'm on the fucking street, right? Like, fuck off. I wouldn't do that anyway.
My God, people have such nerve. Fuck, they're so emboldened. I think this is such a great exercise for all those wannabe tyrants that have always wanted to have a reason to talk to somebody else, and now they've got their excuse. If you go maskless, it is amazing. It really is amazing. It's stunning, actually. I just want to say we got the Rolls Royce radio in here. And he has a show every Saturday at 4 a.m. Eastern Time, which is evening time in Sydney, Australia. He's one of the oldest fakeologists, so I'll let him speak in a minute because I'm going to get out of my...
Hey, Ab, I need to speak when spoken to.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good day, flat earth, Jack Boyce. Great conversation, guys. Yeah, Rick and Roller will be on tomorrow night, yes.
But is it right, every now and then we find a super fakeologist, and I think this guy's a perfect fit for our website. What do you think, Roll?
Yeah, no worries. Make him do a bumper. Come on. He sounds. Do you know who he sounds like? He sounds like Trevor Moore guy. You know, High in Church.
Well, don't talk about him in the third person when he's right here. Come on, show some.
No, that's fine. I'm not offended. If you don't mind, I'll just say one last thing, and then I'll get off, and then maybe you two can carry on. Would that be okay?
I'd rather talk to Rolls Royce all the time, unless you want to go.
Yeah, I don't want to be part of a group conversation here. I was just going to finish my...
I'll go to mute, Jack.
Sure. One thing I just want to say, I don't really talk about this much, but this past year, since March 2020, has been absolutely a great experience for me. In general, my modus operandi, I'm more of a pushover or a doormat, you know, the kind of person to give an inch to save my mile type thing. And throughout the COVID, I've had to stand up for myself because I was so against it from the start. It was a psyop that actually affected me. Directly in my day-to-day life, and I've had to do a lot of research into, like, the Constitution, Charter of Rights, Human Rights Code, things I've never even looked at before, and being able to articulate myself and bypass these quote-unquote mandatory, things that are coming out has really boosted my confidence. So I think that there's a silver lining here. We might be able to make something good out of this. Maybe not for everybody, but... I feel like that's, I have a lot of hope, at least for myself, and it hasn't all been bad. It hasn't been all doom and gloom. I just wanted to say that.
I agree. I can't wait to turn up in a society. I can't wait. I don't know. I hope wherever it starts, it's somewhere warm, because I'm willing to pack up and travel. So wherever we can, because that is the key to flowing this, to breaking this. We have to start, if the whole crowd, if the masses are going to go one way and we don't want to go that way, we have to go another way. It has to be parallel.
Hitler wanted all the Jews out of Europe too. Obviously, that was the pretext to divide society. The only problem is all the Jews were well integrated into German society. So to tell someone they have to pack up and leave immediately is crazy and go to the desert in the Middle East. None of them wanted to do it. So obviously they had to be forced to do it. And the ones that didn't go just wouldn't take the hint. Well, we know what happened. So if we can find a place to go, I'm gone. I'll go.
Yeah,
so,
I was thinking North Pole, Antarctica, or Florida. I haven't decided.
So I think, we talked to Theo last week. I don't know if you heard that broadcast, but he thinks that the world is centered around the South Pole. That's
very well could be.
And that's part of the secret.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, that's part of the secret. So the South Pole might be warm.
I really think it's a really
distinct possibility. Actually.
Well, I started to think of that because if you have a compass and it's pointing north, how do you know it's not being repelled from the south? It would look the same, right? So there's not really any way to know just by knowing that, like, a compass doesn't necessarily prove it in my mind. You know what I mean? That's how I started to think of that, that it could just be reversed and that the goofy flat earth map, the edge is actually the North Pole. Yeah, for sure. I don't know, obviously, but I haven't ruled it out.
You should really listen to that podcast with Unreal, because even if he might totally sound off the wall, I think he's got something. And now he doesn't even pretend to explain every single thing that could be wrong with it. He doesn't pretend. He's just saying, as a mind thought, as a mind experiment, take a look at the way the continents are. Why is there so much water in the southern half? South of the equator compared to the north. You know, we have all the official stories, of course, but why don't you consider another story that's equally compelling, and that is that the South Pole center of the earth and all the continents are pizza shaped, and they would fit perfectly in the South Pole. So everything we're told is inverted.
If you don't mind, you can just send me a link in a private message on Twitter. I'll check it out. But I'll get off now, and I want to thank you for having me on. It was fun.
All right. Yeah, come back anytime. Do you want to do a bumper now?
I don't even really know what that term means.
Well, a bumper is just a Yeah, it's a soundbite. It's the beginning or an end of a conversation. Just like a bumper is the end of a car. Rounds off the side.
Ab, can I help? Can I help Jack out?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Jack, this is what you have to say, right? Hi, I'm Flat Earth Jack Poise.
Yeah.
Jack Wah.
Sure.
I'm from. Where are you from?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Oh, I thought you were just telling me what I should say. Just.
Yeah, no, where are you from? Where are you from?
Oh, London, Ontario, Canada. Oh,
okay, so, hi, my name's Jack Earth, Jack, you're listening to Fakeologist, from London, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That's too much to remember, I'm good. You're listening to Fakeologist, I am Jacob Slay from London, Ontario, listen to, I'm a Fakeologist. How's that? Does that work? Is that a bumper?
That was so close. We're so from close. London. You've just put London in there.
Hey, Jacques, well, let me make it easy. If you go into the, one of the, is it in the live stream show notes? If you looked at the pinned comments, yeah. Script is right there.
I'm not sold on making a bumper officially right yet, but I'll look into it.
Yeah, all right. Okay, if you want.
Hey, for all I know, you'll find out I'm a shill tomorrow and you'll regret this whole conversation. So, you know, let's not go jumping into bumper talk just yet. Yeah.
We're moving too fast.
If you go,
if you go to the main site, fakeologist.com/blog, on the right side, you'll see a speak pipe button. Just look for the word speak pipe, and you can record any message you want there, including the script that I just gave. And that's one of the infinite number of ways to get through to me. Obviously, you're on the Twitter. You like the Twitter. But there's a million ways to contact me. But, yeah, that's this has been great. Very intelligent conversation. Can you come back anytime?
Thanks for inviting me on.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, have a good day. Bye-bye.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is OBF, and you are listening to the wonderful Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
The wonderful ABF, the one-eyed guitarist that we love. Hey, Ab, you still there?
Yeah. How was that? That's pretty good.
Yeah,
huh?
He was great. He was good, wasn't he, Jack?
Yeah, that's a good find. You never know what you're going to get. He just started sending some tweets on Twitter, and can't really get any kind of feel for what someone's like. On the Twitter.
Well, I've been listening to your Brian H. and your Manchester Boys, and you've got some really good audio.
That's
a great week of audios. Yeah.
I knew you. Like, what a week, eh? It's been dynamite, and we had Jacquot today. It's a bit over the top, but we got quite a few donations in the last week. Things we're rolling, man. We're rolling.
Good. I'm glad. I'm so happy for you. Look, I'm never short of a quid, and I'm glad that you can make some money out of this, but do it in the right way, where you're not shilling for money. You do it in the right way. I was watching Harvey Emeny getting Harvey Emeny's an Australian guy who down in Melbourne. You know, when the police are beating people up with the pepper spray and the rubber bullets, they're shooting unarmed civilians now in Melbourne. It's awful. But and someone came out to Harvey. You know, he has to have a bounce around him and says, "You're a shill." What? A shill for what? Like, I'm getting paid what he's getting paid what he's worth, you know, exposing, the tyranny that's going on with this COVID-19 nonsense. And, at least you should be paid a little bit of money.
We all have to eat. We're all in the money system. We all have to eat.
I agree.
I don't grow my own food. I don't have if I had a farm, I wouldn't be able to, be out there doing research because I'd have to attend my crops or else they die. So, it's a division of labor. I like his attitude. He said, listen, you got to take the good and the bad. So you got to take what's good out of somebody and run with it and use your own brain. Don't discount all these people just because someone else labeled them a shill. If there's someone you don't want to listen to, make your own decision. Mm-hmm. Not that hard.
Yep. I agree totally.
I don't mind being called a shill as long as you have a good reason. Now, most shills you can't talk to, like you and I. You can't talk to a shill normally and just ask them, are you a shill? They won't talk to you. That's what I...
Ab, listen.
Let me get this out, because I... Marcus is the one that gave that idea to me. So listen, if I'm a shill, most controlled opposition you can't talk to. You can talk to me and you... So if we're shills, just talk to us and tell us we're shills and tell us how. And we'll tell you why we're not. Pretty simple.
Yeah, the way I look at it is like, are you in this for the right reasons? And like, I've spoken to you since 2012, and I know you are. And if you want to make a little bit of money out of it, not a problem, not a problem.
I have no problem paying anyone or rewarding anyone for good work, even if it's as little as a dollar. If I think you did something worthwhile,
I rewarded you.
You did
$300 for FakoTube, and you called FakoTube because I called you Fako, right?
That's you right. You Fako. Actually had a lot to do with it, yeah. Hmm. You did, yeah.
I have a tremendous love of your and the way you spoke to Jack there, like, who was a brand new caller.
Yeah.
And the way your interviewing technique is it's getting so much better.
Thank you.
Than it was.
I appreciate that, of course. I hope I get better. I think I'm getting smarter every year. I hope so. I'm not.
Yeah.
I hope I get smarter before I start losing brain cells to old age. That would be a problem.
Well, you're certainly not. You're not there yet. But I'm just. The only reason I popped in was to listen, because I was trying to listen on the live stream and it wasn't working properly. So I just wanted to listen in. I didn't expect you to acknowledge my being there.
I only acknowledged because I saw you. If I'm just driving along, I don't look at my phone, so I didn't hear anyone come in the room. So I only saw you because I picked up my phone and I saw you were there, and I thought, okay.
That's okay.
Maybe you want to see it. But normally it makes a noise. If it doesn't make a noise.
That's okay. I hear. Look, Rick and me have got, I was going to say, Rick and me have got so much to talk about on Rick and Rollo tomorrow night. So if you can get the recording thing working around 5:36, I know it's early for you, but,
This is the problem. If people are talking before I go to bed, then I can't render the show.
That's okay. What you did last week was fine.
You guys literally moved into the room when I was just peeling off the previous audio. So
I understand.
Yeah, I could have blocked you, or I wrote a message right away, but Rick didn't see it for 20 minutes. So then he thought,
It turned out more comedic, because in this period of Klaus Schwab's Agenda 21, we need a little bit of comedy in this, because it really is tough work for a lot of people, especially Australia, because we're in massive lockdown now, and it's a lot of a lot of people are having mental problems, and especially I've been there's a guy who used to be on your site. Oh, I've forgotten his name. But he was just the guy. Someone took the AstraZeneca shot, and and then blood clots, and then dead in 3 weeks. The brother, and I read the heartfelt thing.
The mainstream media,
what they do is they go, they either ignore it, or they just pass it off as that it is COVID that killed him, but it was the shot that killed him.
Well, first of all, they don't do autopsies really, so. There's no way. we already said that just about any death now, if you test positive for COVID, you'll be classified as a COVID death. And of course, they've been doing this since the beginning of this whole thing, so you really don't die of anything else, even if you're obese, have heart problems, cancer. Actually, none of that matters, and that's been obvious to all of us the entire time.
It is so insidious. It's so insidious that,
this
guy, he's got the shot, and then they call it a COVID death. The evil in that is just, it's beyond the pale.
We know who we're dealing with. Evil people. Or are they evil, or just, there are rulers, and this is what they've chosen. They think is best for the herd, best way to frighten and maybe ultimately call the herd, which they think, obviously you trim trees so the tree can grow stronger later. But you're not doing it necessarily for the intent to kill everyone, but we can't trust them, so how would we know anyway? Yeah, we don't know their intent.
And ab, they won't frighten us. And that's the beauty of fakeologists and all the fakeologists that come on.
Yeah.
And that we are brave enough to come on, like Jack before there. He was wonderful. He was eloquent. So confident. And yeah, I like that.
Eloquent.
I like confidence.
Super eloquent, yeah. And look, he
and
says
eloquent.
And he said this has been, he's enjoying this PSYOP because it's pulled him out of his shell. I can see how it really, you know, if you were waiting for an excuse to get off the pot and be brave and take a stand on anything, here you go. Here's one. It's been pretty good.
Way more eloquent than the leader of the free world. Have you seen what he's been saying during the week? Joe Biden, you know,
I listened to Joe Biden via the No Agenda show. There's no way I would wait for one of his press conferences. As a matter of fact, I was at my mother's place, and she kept going back in the house. She said, oh, Joe's coming up. And I don't say anything to her at all about anything anymore. And apparently he took hours to show up. He said, I think the video on the White House's YouTube channel is 5 hours long because they start recording, and he doesn't show up for hours. So it's just a blue screen until he actually shows up. It's funny. But there are people waiting for this poor guy to speak. Did you see what
before you go on, they cut his mic off because he can't, even the questions from MSNBC or the, you know, the friendly media, he can't even cope with them. The guy,
I
think it's hilarious. I liked Ronald Reagan even when he'd lost his mind at the end of his.
Did you hear what Gerald Ford said?
Go, Gerald Ford, tell me about it.
Okay, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to play this in the live stream. You have a listen.
Okay.
Have a listen to Gerald Ford, 38th President of the United States.
On October 18th, 1989, in West Branch, Iowa, Gerald Ford, the 38th President of the United States, shared history with students from across Iowa. The visit was part of a conference on the role of former presidents in American society, sponsored by the Herbert Hoover Library and Museum and the Gerald Ford Library and Museum. Here's how these students took advantage of a rare learning opportunity.
Thank you very, very much. It's a very high honor and a very great privilege for me to come to West Branch and to participate in this conference, which is being held here at the Hoover facilities.
Mr. Ford, what advice would you give a young lady wanting to become President of the United States?
Well, I hope we do have a young lady at some point become President of the United States. I can tell you how I think it will happen, because it won't happen in the normal course of events. Either the Republican or Democrat political party will nominate a man for president and a woman for vice president. And the woman and man will win. So you'll end up with a president, a male, and a vice president, a female. And in that term of office of the president will die. And the woman will become president under the law or constitution. And once that barrier is broken, from then on, men better be careful, because they'll have a hard, hard time ever even getting a nomination in the future. But that's the way it's going to happen, and I think it'll probably come sometime in the next 4 or 8 years.
Gerald Ford, which actually is not his real name. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Ab. So when they do the, what's the amendment to get Biden, Piss Pants Biden out?
Wait. Speak to the video you just heard. What do you think? Is this guy reading the script? Is he a clairvoyant or what? Maybe, is it going to come true?
Well, Kamala Harris is waiting in the wings to get...
Yeah, but what do you think of Gerald Ford making that prediction? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, why not?
That's a great find. Now, who do you think he was thinking about that was going to come in 1980? Well, the next, who was running around in 1989?
Well, was it Geraldine Ferraro? It was the peanut farmer, what was his name?
No, but that video was from 1989. So put your mind back to 1989. Okay. Would he be talking about Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro, or who won in 1990? It was Slick Willie. Is that right? Slick Willie was from 1990 to 1998. Am I right or no?
No,
I'm wrong. It was George Herbert Walker Bush. No.
Yeah, George Herbert Walker Bush was from 88 to 92, and then 92 the saxophonist, Bill Clinton.
Okay, so he would have been talking about, I think George Herbert Walker Bush, he ran again, did he not?
He had one term,
I know, but he did run again and lost. But who was he running with? Was it Quayle? Quayle's not a dog.
I think it was Dan Quayle. And then who was the guy they put up against Clinton in 96? It was the guy who was in the wheelchair with no arm. Bob Dole.
I can't believe he's still alive.
Well, I can't believe
I'm wondering who Gerald Ford was actually thinking about, because Gerald Ford is not from the future. So he couldn't have been talking about now, but I'm wondering who he was thinking about. But I thought that was a pretty prescient thought, even though he's off by 25 years.
That was good. I mean, I know little to nothing. I was too young.
Dumb, and full of what?
I'm talking about back in before Carter's time, that fella there, I swear, the only real president stuff I was interested in is obviously JFK, because we're fakeologists and but just to speak to the present, because I prefer to live in the moment. Is the one that interests me at the moment, and especially this Afghanistan nonsense that's going on. Me and Rick will have a lot to talk about that tomorrow night. What is it that where they can get Biden out, and then Kamala's going to be no better, because the way she just laughs off. We just fucked up Afghanistan. Like, Afghanistan, everyone knows the only reason Americans are in there is because of the heroin, the poppy trade. And now they're just going, fuck it, we don't need it. Well, we've been joined by someone. Hello?
We have been. Let's look.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Benoit.
Bonjour, Benoit.
I just got off work and I saw that you were here, so I thought it was nice to say bonjour.
There's nobody listening in the live stream.
I'm going to sign off. Hey, Ben, I'm going to sign off for the night, but Rick and Rollo will be here tomorrow night. So I'll let you guys have a chat. See ya.
Yeah. Oh, I did not intend to speak much, really. I was just saying bonjour. But to remind everyone that I will be speaking in about 2 hours with the great Robert Lawrence, that seems to have some theories to develop.
Typhoid Mary, was she a real person?
I think Ben's having some issues with his phone at the moment. But yeah,
It should be good now.
Yeah, Ben.
Yes, I was just saying that I will be interviewing one of our members, Robert Lawrence, on different topics he has some theories about. So it may be interesting. It will be in about 2 hours from now.
Well, there you go. So, hey, Faco.
Yeah, after the break.
I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave Jr. Cody from Memphis.
Silver Bay.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I have to give the link to the show with Unreal talking about the South Pole. Did you hear that one?
You can tell me. Can I just do another big thank you to Velocet for doing those bumpers for you? Because those bumpers are awesome. And there's a few things that we're going to talk about tomorrow night on Rick and Rollo. So anyone who wants to give audio.
Do you want to give the membership where you're going to talk about?
Uh, Yeah, no, I'd rather keep it to myself. Because,
really?
Wow. Yeah. You know, spoilers and all that. I don't want to do that. I was speaking to Rick during the week. We've had Rick's had his issues during the week, and so have I with this COVID-19. And I'd rather do it with Rick because we've become firm friends now, and I'd like to and do it there. I'm gonna go. What song can I play for you, Ab?
I don't need a song.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I insist.
I insist you don't.
I love the song that you requested last week. That Canadian band. Yeah. You left
Have
it
you
in.
Heard of them?
I thought you were going to cut it off.
It was one I actually liked, and I asked for it.
Yeah, and you got it. You asked for it, and you got it, baby.
Well, it's not like I can't get a song myself. It's not like you're some kind of disc jockey that can only get the song. I can get it, too.
Right. Can I play a song, man?
You're a good man.
You nah, so
man, you're deep into the sauce tonight.
Oh, yeah, well, it's Friday night, Ab. Come on. I was just listening to you and Jack talk for 2 hours.
Talking for an hour.
Right, I'm going to play. I'm
talking
play.
To somebody smart, and not saying you're not smart. Boy, he's
Here we go.
Really interesting.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, did Ben?
Yep.
Where it began.
This is a great song, by the way.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong.
You got to, you didn't do an intro.
Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me.
Fakeologist.com. Thank you, Ben. The jazz singer himself, Neil Diamond. I swear, I reckon Benoit's playing that for skylarking his Sweet Caroline. All right. Rick and Rollo tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Critical Thinkers just joined us. Fakeologist Benoit, keep on going. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Yes. Hello, Benoit and Critical Thinker. How are you guys today?
Fantastic.
Did you hear Jacquois? We had a guy with a French-sounding name on. You're Benoit, he was Jacquois.
We should make a comedic duo. As you mentioned before, you were rudely interrupted by Rollo. I did try to listen to your talk with Unreal, but the subject matter was not really interesting for me. It's really not my cup of tea.
That's fine. That's fine. That's okay. Actually, it was Jacquois that I wanted him to listen to. I wasn't thinking about you listening to it particularly, although you're more than welcome to.
But I will listen to the next one. It is already published, or was it just on before?
Oh, Jacquois was just on a minute ago. I found him on Twitter. He's a very intelligent, well-spoken person on Twitter, and I told him it's much easier to have a conversation in the audio stream than it is on Twitter, that's for sure.
Yes, and it also allows each and everyone to get to know the guy, get to know the basis of his opinion. And it will shorten any further conversation. We will not really have to go over the, oh, and where are you from, and whatever, at least for the people that listen.
Critical Thinker, what's new in London or England?
You keep saying London, but yeah, I'm not very close
are
to London.
Are you in Brighton?
Yeah, down that way, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
We
have a Brighton in Ontario too. We couldn't think of anything to name our city, so we just copied the entire English country.
It's the same in Australia. Yep.
Very, very boring. We have a Brighton. You have a Trenton? Trenton is near Brighton here.
Not that I know of.
For example, there is a city.
Well, we talked to a guy today from London, Ontario, and there's a Thames River in London, Ontario.
There is a city in the USA that is called Lake Geneva, but the fact is that the lake here is not even called Lake Geneva.
What's it called?
Yeah, but my point was that the lake here is not even named Lake Geneva.
What's it called?
Basically, it's a false name. Le Lac Léman, or Lake Léman. It's not even named Lake Geneva. Lake Geneva is an international appellation.
Wow, they're building a quarantine facility at the Welcome Airport in Queensland. Is that just for probably international people, or are they just going to drag Rollo out of his treehouse?
Well, they're finding a narrative in Australia at the moment of if you're serious about controlling cases of COVID, that you would have all the borders locked, because every time they lock down again in Australia, it's always tied to an international traveller. So they're now creating the narrative of shutting the borders down in Australia for a good period of time. So that could be a part of that.
They're building it in Welcome, Queensland. How ironic.
Welcome.
You know what the largest philanthropic trust is in the world that's responsible for helping fund this huge operation?
Enlighten us.
The Welcome Trust.
Right, yes, I've heard of it.
They're bigger than the Gates Foundation. How's that?
Yep.
That's pretty
good. Has Rollo been on all night or something? It must be fucking late there.
No, he just joined in.
Right.
Are you worried about him?
I'm always.
Well, Critical, tell us something interesting.
Something interesting? I was just, there were three or four guys standing around at the end of the day, a couple of beers, so I decided to hang around for a bit, but then one of them had to bring up vaccines, because one of them was getting their second jab tomorrow, and they all started playing into the idea of, that second jab, a lot of people say that, that really gets them the second jab, they get ill, and blah, 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 and they're all laughing, like it's just part of the story, I could see every one of them at one point would do it with me.
They're all anxious for their second jab, and they can't wait to get the anaphylactic shock?
Yeah, I was about to bring up the whole protein idea of, once the protein's introduced and then the second time, yada yada, but it wasn't worth it. It wasn't the time.
Well, the convenient link that you should send them is fake11.com/Anna, as in anaphylactic. I made that very convenient. Just say, go read this, fake11.com/Anna,
It'll bring you to the PDF and just say, hey, what do you think of this double shot of a protein idea? How does that hit you? Does that seem like a smart thing to do?
Yeah, I was going to bring it up, but yeah, there's a time and a place, I think, with some people. Often it can take enemies sooner than friends. But, you know, even the guys who even studied done recently, which was the bulk.
You're breaking up, critical. You must be in a bad area.
I'm driving, so I could be doing that. Can you hear me all right?
I might not respond if I can't hear you, but keep talking.
Sure. You mentioned a study that the UK government's recently done. Clearly bullshit, but they were suggesting they had a sample pool of, you know, 23-odd million people that have had the vaccine, and that the idea was that you're more likely to get blood clots from COVID if you didn't have the vaccine than you are getting blood clots from the vaccine. So they've completely flipped the narrative from vaccines causing blood clots to if you get COVID and you're not vaccinated, you've got more chance of getting blood clots.
Oh, my God, that's evil.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They're getting desperate. Anyway, every time they play a desperate move like that, it's But I see their desperation as a weakness. You know, I think we have to see desperation as a weakness by default.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping that if they lose and we win, that will be the end of vaccinations, period. I'm hoping people will be smart enough to realize that all vaccine is quack science, complete quackery. That's why I said this is their Hail Mary. The whole they were losing the infodemic anyway on health and vaccines, and their business model was failing. So they just went and all in, all or nothing. They figured, we either make it a subscription model or we just cancel the business. So they probably went to all the, the elite own most of these corporations and foundations anyway. So they just figured we're just going to go all in. And if they, if the people buy it, we're going to quadruple our wealth. If they don't, try another model. But if it does work, man, we're going to get our biosecurity state. We're going to get our digital currency. We're going to get our social proof. We're going to get our climate. We're going to get basically our complete annihilation of humanity down to a level that we think is acceptable. We're going to play God. And and so far, that's what I think is happening.
Yeah, sure. I agree. It's, I'm not sure if I'm giving them too much credit here, but it would seem from history that they're too smart to allow the narrative to fall apart without them intentionally doing it, you know what I mean, as well. So it's, I remember hearing someone, I don't know if it was through Fakeology or somewhere else, but there was an idea floating that they were almost purposely setting up the vaccine to fail for an alternative solution that they would then offer, but I cannot remember for the life of me who said it and what they said, but it was somewhere along those lines. Because I wouldn't imagine
maybe they're going to go for a pill, I think, or a spray or something easy, maybe.
Yeah, because this is a pain in the ass for everyone. They don't like the idea that they've got to go and line up for another shot and another shot and another shot. They're turning into junkies for it. So it's,
they're shots that don't work. Even that's what they're going to start. That's when they don't work or they don't last or none of it.
Exactly.
They're just pushing the limits of ridiculousness, gullibility, plumbing
the depth. The easiest solution would be to put whatever it is in tap water, and everyone will have it, they want it or not.
No, but the thing is, they have to verify. It's not about whatever they're administering. It's that you're checking in to the mothership every 90 days so they can make sure you're not cheating the blockchain. First, they got to make sure you're registered. Don't forget, the birth certificate from birth is voluntary, so you can enter their system. There are families that don't get a birth certificate, so they don't get social insurance, they don't get any of that stuff. But now, it's like they're making the birth certificate, the registration, mandatory. And the reason why they want the shot every 90 days isn't to kill you.
I don't think. It's just to make sure you're still in the system and you're not cheating.
I agree.
You gotta keep checking in. That's what, to me, that's what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's, that sound like, when you are released from jail and you have to check in with your local police station each and every, month or so.
It was somewhere in, a New York school, I think. It could have been a spoof article, I don't know. It's hard to tell these days, but they're suggesting that any unvaccinated children would be, wearing an ankle bracelet moving forward.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Just read Seek for Truth, S-I-K-H for Truth on Twitter, or Truth UK, something or other. He knows what it's all about. It's all about the digital ideas. Nothing to do with medicine. Nothing to do. Medicine is the rail that they can run this train on, because otherwise there's no reason to build the infrastructure. Nobody wants a social credit score. Nobody wants a green carbon score. There's no infrastructure to track that. But they're building the tracks on the quack scene because people are too stupid to realize that viruses don't kill you. So this is the network they're building the whole infrastructure on. So look at the quack scene as the train track. They have to build the track.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've been saying that
the digital ID.
More or less from the beginning. That I've just had a feeling from the beginning that this is just as... just as little about the vaccine as it has been about the virus. I think that's the dualistic approach to creating a narrative, as, like you said, as the gateway into this digital system. And they're just using both of those things, playing off each other. They're attending to fear no matter which way you look at it. And, it's about implementing a new system more than it is about a vaccine or a virus or depopulation or health. Or I think this is all part of the distraction.
Yeah. They want to do all of that, by the way. Those are all goals. They're all worthy goals in their mind.
Yeah.
Not the goal.
No, and they won't do that sort of thing off one shot either. It'd be an incremental situation of just depleting your health overall, I would imagine.
Well, if you are right, it just means that everyone should be looking into establishing autonomous zones that are not functioning under the authority of the government.
Yeah, but I'd imagine the first key would be not subscriptions and whatnot. I mean, if enough people are not using their apps that they're going to run all this stuff off, and we're not subscribing and submitting to the services they're trying to do this with, then they're going to be a way off from being able to achieve it.
They just have to condition it with the right to access the internet. Everyone will comply.
Yeah, but there's technology that exists to be able to. For years, they've been developing a lot about it. The whole more of a peer-to-peer torrenting network to internet, which is able to bypass. But that's probably a long way off as well. That was an interesting chat you had with Brian, Portugal, yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, it seems that Portugal has been really hit very hard with the COVID restriction. But as far as I know, because we have a very, very large Portuguese population in Geneva, many of them still manage to go there on vacation or whatever in the summer.
Yeah, I think they hit a lot of the strong southern European cultures with restrictions, I think. It seemed a bit part of the plan, really. Any strong culture, any strong family communities or whatnot. They've been hit hardest. Propaganda, the hardest.
Definitely.
But, Italy. My wife was just in Italy for a couple of weeks, and all over the media it's about, green passes, and you can't do this without the vaccine, you can't do that without the vaccine. But everyone's out doing everything with or without the vaccine at the moment. So it's, you got to remember there's a lot that's in the media that's not actually happening as yet.
Definitely. And in fact, the numbers are fake. There is probably a large part of the population that isn't vaccinated at all, that probably doesn't have any intention to do it. So in the end, as much as they can yap in the media about the fact that you will not be allowed to do that, and that, if you don't have enough persons that are vaccinated in the population, it will just clog the system and make it impossible to live normally, even for them.
Yep. That's why they keep going on about the whole 80% thing, because it's like that 80-20 rule. Once 80% of something is covered, you're more or less there. And the 20% is just collateral damage. But my wife came across a few friends and old friends there that, it was always gauging in how someone greets you. So if someone is going to give you a hug or shake your hand, it then opens up the conversation a little more to be a bit more to the point with your conversation where if someone's standing off and being defensive, then yeah, you kind of hold back your conversation a little more. But she was fine, and she had a few people that she hadn't seen for a while that would bring up that yeah, they're not getting vaccinated. This is all bullshit. And she was stoked.
Like I said, I think that most of the population is unvaccinated, and I think that there is a large part of the population that just don't want it, and they will never add it. So all they can do is try to play on the fear and on the fact that you will not allow to do this, this, and this. But like I said, if there is, like I think, a larger part of the population that isn't vaccinated, it should be okay. Because in the end, business has to continue to function and everything. And it's not only a question of money, it's just a question of relevance. I want to leave you for a minute to speak with Sophia Starr that joined us again. So I will just check that it's really her.
Sure.
After that, I will be back.
You still there, psychologist?
Yeah, I'm still here. Just trying to connect to my Bluetooth there. Are you still there, critical?
I'm back. Discord is terrible sometimes. You don't even know if you manage to go into the room, if you are able to hear someone speaking, or if there is just a silence. Sometimes it's really, really complicated.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Tribe.
This is Lost Fighter Phallus.
I'm Nightly News.
Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Standstill.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Yesarian, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Plate.
Fluidic Lunar.
Emerald Equator.
The Asarian.
Psioptica.
Psion.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
This is Jeff Sand, dude.
Laura Mars.
The Phoenician.
Audio Fabrius.
Trip to me. Dumb
Gapa. Poi Poloi.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
I wear my face mask in my car so I can. Virtue signal in my neighborhood.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Interrupts our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is It's Me from Telemundus's Stockholm, Sweden, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
This is Waterman Chris.
Nadir Lissette.
I'm Roland.
Uninstall Media.
Zach Covers on Tassel.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
This is Zion Phillips.
Skylar Kim.
Thrillium.
This is El Sushi, the Lutuli.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Bonsoir. Let's start with the beginning. Hi, everyone. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is Friday, the 27th of August, 2021. I am Benoit from Geneva, Switzerland. I am with Stupid. I dreamed of saying that. I'm with Stupid and Frank, aka an ounce of salt per day. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, it's always cool to say I'm with Stupid. I don't know if everyone liked the name, but come on. Whatever you say, you can do no wrong with such a name.
Exactly. That's why I did it.
Excellent. So how are you doing?
Just smoking my life away.
Oh, I've been there. It depends. Legal smoke or illegal smoke?
Unfortunately, it's just fucking tobacco, so the stuff that's no good for you. Cigarettes.
Oh, yes. Then I'm there too, exactly. But I don't think that smoking anything is per se good. It's not bad on face value, but it's certainly not good in any way.
Yeah, but I think just smoking regular cannabis, I think that's way better than this shit.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, what country are you in?
Switzerland.
Switzerland?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. What time is it in Switzerland right now?
Well, it's in 10 minutes it will be 11 p.m.
Oh, okay. How are
sorry,
they,
I'm sorry, go on.
No, nah, go ahead. What were you going to say? Because it's probably a delay, so. No, just what were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's depending on which way you decide to look at it, it's the best country in the world or the worst. I will pretend to say that it depends, like I said, it depends on the moment. There is some good things about it. There is some bad things about it. Like, for the moment, for the time that we are living, it's absolutely not the worst, because since it's the country of the elite, some of the hardest side of this COVID thing, we are not hit with it, really. We are not hit as hard as some other European country, or North America, or Australia, for that example. So in that sense, I cannot complain. It's not the worst. I am still allowed to work. It's still almost completely without a hassle. I mean, not without a hassle, but it's still possible to travel under certain conditions. Not the worst, really.
Yeah. But how long is that going to be for, I wonder?
Not long enough, that's for sure. But to be perfectly honest, I intend on immigrating to the UK, which doesn't make any much sense seeing it like that, because apparently the situation is worse there. But why go for the easy solution, you know?
Yeah, it's gonna be bad everywhere. I think no matter, there's no getting away from this.
Nowhere to run.
Yes, that's exactly. The whole world is for Alamo. You got to take a stand and fight wherever you are. That will be your battlefield.
Yes. But I noticed one thing, these brainwashed people, because I'm starting to give them shit about putting their masks back on because they're not doing it. I think they're kind of waking up, these ones that were wearing double masks, because I live in Boston, and I, every time I go in the store, my local stores, I give them shit because they're not wearing their masks, that normally they would be wearing their masks, and they're kind of just laughing at me like, because they told us to put the mask back on.
Well, that never stopped. In Switzerland, that never stopped. This mask thing.
Oh, hold on. Why are you telling them to put the mask back on? I don't get it. Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, yes, I'm doing reverse psychology because I'm telling them they're killing people if they're not wearing their masks.
Oh, okay. But do they know you're joking?
I would think they would think I'm joking, but they're kind of like trying to act like they haven't been, tricked because I think they're waking up realizing they were conned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that may be the good approach because someone, someday, you will tell that person to put her or his mask on and she'll be like, it doesn't make any sense. And maybe it will just click in their mind and they might think, yeah, obviously I'm doing something wrong there. This guy is right. Just put your mask on. You are killing my grandmother. That's a good one. The thing is that I really dislike to wear a mask. So I went from the aggressive phase where I was like, fuck off and being really mean to people. And now I'm just saying the most calmly possible that it's none of their business.
Yeah, because my tenant last night, they completely brainwashed her and her boyfriend, and he actually gave me credit last night because I told him this wasn't going away 18 months ago, and he's like, I give you credit, you were right, and he thinks there's something going on, like, that is not adding up. I'm like, you're finally waking up? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you going to go for your second booster? Are you going to go for your booster shot? And he wouldn't give me an answer, but he knows it's a lie now.
Yeah, give him a few months and he will ask you about 9/11.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go down that road with him. I'm not going to go down that road with
him. So the thing I found out this week was we got the statistics for Australia for the number of deaths. In Australia in 2019, there were 169,500 people passed away.
Or died.
And, yep. And there were, in 2020, 141,500. So in Australia, COVID saved 28,000 lives. And wow, and we're vaccinating against something that does good. Give me the COVID. give me, is all I can
say.
Yeah,
but I wish they'd break down the deaths because
they do.
What went down? I would assume kangaroo car accidents went down.
No, possibly, but the thing that went down was respiratory deaths were down 16.2% and pneumonia was down 30%.
Okay, how did COVID do? Because that's probably a new category.
Well, they didn't put that category in the in Australia. Oh, they did it in the USA, which was also weird. The US figures just show an enormous jump in mortality of some huge amount. Typically, there are 2.8 million deaths in the USA. On the basis of projections that I'd done, it looked like it was going to be about 3 million normally, but they end up having reporting 3.345 million. But of that, the site which actually provided the figures said they analysed 2.8 million records. So they analysed 2.8 million records and got a number of 3.35 million. How does that work?
It's just that some people don't pay attention. I read somewhere this week, like, that, for example, the French government give a vaccination date of the 22 of May for the French president Emmanuel Macron, and apparently there was a document that was showing that he was allegedly vaccinated in early July. So basically, it's just lack of attention to details. And they will say that, they say that it was a typo, that it was just a simple mistake, and it was not needed to read anything into it, but it's just a small mistake. It's just that, like everyone doing his or her job, but sometimes you get lazy or you make a mistake, and those type of information that should be corrected are not. So basically, if the guy that was responsible of forging the number of deaths for USA was paying attention, he would have corrected that long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And those people are probably not paid that much, to be honest. It's probably an entry-level job to input numbers. So I have been there. I can totally understand that this is not the highest priority to get everything right.
Yeah, exactly.
So things are going in Australia for you, Frank. Did you notice any change?
Oh, look, for me personally, Benoit, it's the benefits to me are becoming more and more extreme. My business is absolutely flying. It's quite perverse. However, there have been some food businesses that were shut down. There was a company that makes pies that got closed yesterday because of they say it was their employees had
outbreak.
Had come in contact with one of the hotspots.
All the employees were forced into isolation and testing, even though all of them had been double jabbed.
Makes absolutely, but I have to stop saying it makes absolutely no sense, because firstly, it's a tick of language, and in the end, why should it make any sense? Why am I still expecting for those things to make sense?
Well, it does make sense. At this point. It does make sense if you change your model, if you understand the model is what they, you know, if your model is that these guys are not here to help us, then it does make sense. But what, yes, they're exactly. what they're saying here in Australia is the jab doesn't mean that you won't get ill. The jab doesn't mean that you've got freedom. The jab doesn't mean that you don't have to isolate. Go and get the jab and sign this form saying that you accept all liability for being in part of a deadly experiment. And yet, despite all of that obvious reasons not to go and get a jab, people are doing it.
So they can travel.
Well, they can't travel either.
In the future.
But I can say that I travel without it, so it's not even a valid excuse for anyone to get a job.
Yeah, there is no, at this stage, there is no actual discrimination. And a friend of mine who had left Australia to go back to England via Thailand, he's also double jabbed. The UK has now red-listed Thailand as of Monday, and so he's not going to go back to England because he'll end up having to spend 10 days in hospital. It cost him nearly £2,300 for the privilege to be isolated, even though he's jabbed.
It's insane because I was supposed to be quarantined when I came, when I arrived in Great Britain. And to be honest, no attempt was ever made to send me an email or anything to try to contact me. I did say countless times that I have gave a false address by mistake and everything, but there was, as far as I'm, absolutely no attempt at contacting me in any sort of way. No missed call on my phone when I arrived and I plug it back on. No email, no nothing. So
yeah, and Switzerland
is not. I think that it's really on the case.
Switzerland is not on the red list though. That Thailand where he's staying has just been put on the red list, where people that come from those countries are required to isolate at their own expense.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. You can act like your mask will save the whole world, leaving
common sense behind. Okay, to change topic a little bit and to discuss something else. As some of you may remember, I visited the permanent display at the CERN in Geneva in late 2019. And I may very, very soon be able to see a little bit more of it, because apparently I will be next week starting a job inside of the CERN. So wow. I will have an access card to the place. I don't think that I'm going to see much things that are of interest, but I can say I'm quite happy of having some liberty to visit the place from the inside.
That's amazing.
Are you going to look for evidence of a smashed atom?
I will look for everything that I can. Interdimensional monsters, black cloud over the CERN, whatever.
But isn't the purpose literally to smash an atom so they can see what its constituent parts are? Is that not the official?
That would be yes.
Is that the reason they built this long accelerating tunnel to literally smash atoms?
Well, what I can, in the end, why should I even care? What I can tell you is that the first surface that there is to decontaminate, which is mainly, I don't know if it's removing paint or a substance or whatever, but it will be a room that is, if I'm understanding correct, 500 square meters, okay? So that is the first room. If the first contract goes well, they mentioned that there was about 70,000 square meters to decontaminate. So whatever the thing is that is under there, it's massive.
Is it the walls or something?
Yeah, the walls, the floor, the ceiling, the complete room has to be decontaminated. So I don't know if it's the tunnel itself. I figure that it's clearly not. But whatever.
Maybe it's all the blood on the wall.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's the rest of atom. Or maybe it's a smashed interdimensional creature. I really don't know. In the end, it will probably be boring, meaningless, and I will have seen absolutely nothing. But I'm happy. I'm happy to have a possibility to go in the inside for a change. I mean, so many things have been said by so many people over the years about that place. And I may be the first one to have an access to that will probably, but I'm almost certain that it will go, to have an access card from the inside. No one in our circle never had that, as far as I'm concerned. I never saw any video of someone that is like-minded to us and that have the chance to go inside of the perimeter of the cell.
Very exciting.
I got the video.
Oh, definitely. Frankly, I know I'm a little bit psychotic, but I'm looking into getting a hidden camera or something that I can dissimulate to walk with my phone in my hand everywhere I go. But I'm really looking into getting something discreet to be able to film.
Yeah, I bet you can get something that plugs into your phone on like a USB-C and you just plug it into your phone.
Yes, exactly. Just something that stick like less than a centimeter out my pocket and I just move around and try to see everything see until
like
someone...
Like a fake button. a fake button on the shirt.
Yes, and I go everywhere, open every door until someone tell me to fuck off and go back to the place I'm working at.
Yeah, just pretend you're looking for a room that you're supposed to decontaminate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought they said it was down the hallway, all the end, yeah. All the end.
Yeah, like I said, it will probably be boring and whatever, but yeah, I'm happy to be on the inside and maybe there is something, you know what I mean? Maybe there is really something, who knows?
Wow, there's interesting shit everywhere.
Who pays for CERN's operation?
Since it's the European Center for Nuclear Research, I will figure that most of the budget came out of the EU pocket with evidently a participation from the Swiss government.
Yeah, but isn't it groups of researchers putting bids in as well?
Yeah.
There's conglomerates of researchers there and they're each putting their own bids out for different projects.
Mm. The fact is that the ring where the atoms are supposed to collide, part of it is located in Switzerland, but part of it is also located in France.
Across the border,
so it's a big joint venture. And really, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to form a definitive opinion on what is going on there. I have absolutely no idea. I heard all sorts of theories. All that I can tell you is that there is, as far as I'm concerned, no black cloud over the part of the city where CERN is located, at least not more than usual. So, but apart from that, I have absolutely no idea. I've been living in this city for about 30 years, all put together, and I never, ever, ever had any inside information, any chance, or whatever. All I can say is that when I was way younger, someone wanted to sell me a stall computer that had a CERN logo, but that's about as close as I ever got, so I'm quite
happy. Probably hiding gold and precious metals or something in there.
Might be where they charge the fuel rods.
I would think they're just using it for something, for storage or a bunker for future apocalypses, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There is a big accelerator ring there, though. They're probably using it for something, aren't they?
Yeah, but how do you know?
The ring is there. Well, you just from looking at the work, it appears to be, I mean, there's so much out there on it, unless that's all completely generated.
Who knows? There might not even be any... Who knows what you're looking at? It's all Hollywood, probably. Like a completely pointless exercise anyway. Okay, smash. You're trying to smash the smallest unit of life, but I doubt you could see it if you try. There's no way it makes sense that you could see it.
Definitely. All I can say is that either underground or overground, they have 70,000 square meters, which is quite a lot. So at least there is something. It's not just a stage prop or anything like that. Because the fact is, if they were doing absolutely nothing with this place, there will be no need to decontaminate nothing in the end. It could just stay as is. Even if it was painted with like lead paint or PCB or whatever type of toxic things they were using. If it was absolutely empty, there will be absolutely no need to replace it.
What is the point of decontamination? I don't get that. Is it just so you don't have any dirt in the acceleration chamber, or what?
To be honest, I have absolutely no idea. To my understanding, which is very lacking, I must confess, we are going to clean up a room, and everything that was in the room will probably have been removed by the time we arrive.
I mean, there could be massive batteries or something. You get that a lot with batteries. You get the plates, they all like, they fur up, and once they're completely saturated, they don't work anymore. And then you can clean the plates off again and reuse them.
Yes.
That's how like lead acid batteries work.
Yes,
well, it could be a similar thing to that, I guess.
Yes, or once the company had those massive, but very, very massive electric converter that were used at a dam in Switzerland. There was this massive electricity converter. And the thing it was that the machine was using oil. And it was impossible to clean because each and every time you turn it to one side to clean it, all the oil was going to the other side. So basically the company had to give up. They were paid, but they had to give up and say that it was not possible for them to clean it. So really, I don't have much an idea of the job description. I know that I had to fill some paperwork and give a copy of my ID paper and different things to have an access card. No, no COVID test needed, as far as I know.
I bet you the CERN could smash the COVID virus.
Well, I'm sure they cannot.
They should send all the COVID viruses underground and smash them all and get them off the earth.
Yeah, if there was such a thing as a COVID virus, it's probably the best way to go. Like I said, yeah. I'm just happy to go there and to visit a little bit and to report to you guys if there is anything to report.
I think CERN is on the same level as nuclear power. The same idea, just a money pit. They're doing something, storing something, or whatever they're doing, it's not what they say they're doing. And I doubt there's any super long pathway for the accelerator to run along.
I don't specially think that this is a particle accelerator or something like that, but what I can say from living in that city is that there is a consequent number of foreign scientists that are working there. So whatever happens there, it has to do with science. That's the only thing I can say, because all those people with big degrees and everything, they come here, they live for a few years, and if they manage to make a life here, they stay, or after that, they remove them, they go back to some stupid university in some other country. So all I know is that there is a turnaround of scientists, of foreign scientists. And things like that. So something is done there. What it is, I don't know, but I'm quite certain that it has to do with science.
And what is science, Benoit?
I stopped school at 12. I will be at a loss to tell you what real science is, to be honest.
Science is the new religion.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I will say that stupidity is the new religion. Maybe these guys are science, but basically stupidity is the new religion.
Mm. Mm.
Science is a verb, it's a noun, it's just another all-purpose word that has totally lost its meaning. You know, you do the science, it just...
It's science stupid. So stupid's here. Is he still here?
Stupid's always
He's
here.
He's still in the room.
Well, stupid's still here, so he should know what science is, because it's science. Everyone says it's science stupid.
I don't know, but when Sky was with me in Switzerland, we watched a little bit of an episode of a cartoon that they show us in school when we were kids. And I chose to watch the episode about Pasteur. And it was really stupid. I mean, as a kid, okay, you may be fooled by it, but come on. It's completely stupid. And I'm happy to say that most of the people I interact with, at least on a more profound level than a surface level conversation, they seem to know what is up, really. Most people I speak with, really, people that are not already vaccinated, they will not get vaccinated. So I really think that in that regard, people are not as stupid as we think they are. And as I said earlier with Ab on another call, the number inflated, there is probably a large part of the population that will have absolutely no business getting any type of vaccine for this disease.
Well, Adam from the No Agenda is over in Holland right now. He said there's no COVID on the news at all. They're not talking about it in the media right now. Their excuse is everyone wanted a break from it. So they're talking about everything else but COVID.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's certainly not like that here. The push to vaccinate is so strong.
Yeah. I call it the push to brand people. They're just trying to brand everybody. Get everyone on the blockchain as soon as possible.
Yes, and in the end, you don't really need to force people to get vaccinated. To give you an example, the University Hospital in Geneva, the biggest public hospital, they just said, we will stop hiring unvaccinated people. So they will basically eliminate each and everyone that is not vaccinated. Not by force or, not by use of force. Just simply they stop hiring new people that are not vaccinated. And you give that policy, 5 years, 10 years? Everyone will be vaccinated.
Yep.
Simple as that.
First down in, I think it was Idaho. That was being interviewed, she said that the hospital's already budgeted to lose 15% of their nurses for that reason, and they're going to bring in traveling nurses to replace them. So they've already budgeted for the replacement.
Yeah.
I cannot say that it's a bad thing because I will strongly advise going into any hospital if this is not a life or death situation, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm hearing some terrible stories. I don't know where it was, but they're saying that they're vaccinating patients that come in there and want any kind of procedure. They're just saying you have to get vaxxed or we won't treat you. So I'm starting to hear stories like that. Hopefully they're not true.
Oh, to give you an example, in France, it's already the case. They are allowed to refuse patients for normal treatment if they are not vaccinated. I don't believe much of what I read or see in the internet, but I saw a video of an old guy, probably in his 80s, and he was the security guy at the entry was like, yeah, I know that you have chemo scheduled, but you cannot produce your COVID pass, so you will not enter the hospital. Lucky or unlucky for him, depending on how you view chemo, there was a camera crew that was filming some documentary about that situation. So the personnel of the hospital played it smart, and they say, yeah, okay, we will allow you in, because come on, you got to get your chemo and everything. But if you go by what the news is saying in France, if you are not vaccinated or have a test or whatever, you cannot get your normal treatment at the hospital. And more close to me, where I live in Geneva, I cannot, like, for example, my mom that is gravely sick. If she ever was hospitalized again, I will not be able to visit her for lack of a COVID pass.
Oh, I think you always will be able to, if you know how to manage the, you know, the negotiation, Benoit.
Well, my
That ability to conditionally accept the offer.
Well, my plan, to be honest, because I thought about it, is that there is a garden for the smoker and the barrier is not that high. So that's probably the way I will enter anyway.
I think it's up to you. I think you simply say, yeah, I'm happy to get vaccinated, provided you're prepared to warrant that it does all these things that you say it does, and, you know, the usual thing. And if I get injured or hurt, you compensate to the tune of $20 million.
Yeah, I don't know if it will really work with the security personnel. On a higher level, it will probably work. But to be honest, that is not my main worry about it. My main worry about the situation is that there will be, and I'm sure there will be, another lockdown in Europe, and I have some travel arrangement already made for mid-November to the UK again. So that's my only worry, really. And I can see the sign that there will be another lockdown. To give you an example, each and every year in October or November, the circus came in town and they set their space and everything. And you know what? It's the end of August and they're already here. So even they think that the situation will get worse during the winter, that they will not be allowed to make any money. So they're already here trying to cash in as much as possible before everything is stopped again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Travel restriction is what is really worrying me, to be honest.
Yes.
But the thing that for the moment, as much as I know, there is no change. It will be the basic test combo, one here and two there and another one there before coming back. So nothing changed in that regard.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Chris. It's fun how we can preserve voices, isn't it?
Yeah, it's insane.
He lives on forever on the audio chat.
In our native culture, you're not allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah? Really? What native is that?
The Australian Indigenous, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. The Aborigines, yeah. What we call
Aborigines. So you have to bury all the audio chats with the body?
That kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But they also, you know, this show may offend some viewers because it contains pictures of people that have passed away. Or died, as you say. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Passed away is such an euphemism.
Yeah, I think that it's a great thing to be recorded, to be honest. If I ever was taken away by an untimely death, I mean, I would really like for my kids to listen back to all the audio chat I was in to have a better grasp on who I am in the end. My opinion, that will not be the work. I may want some episode removed in that case, some things pertaining to intimate issue or whatever, but I don't think that there is a better description of who I am than on your archive at fakeologist.com. Has everyone left or no. Is muted?
I was just enjoying your rhapsodizing, Benoit.
Yes, so I think that for myself, I'm rather proud to be able to participate in that. And, yeah, as I said, this is probably the most extensive description of my personality that is available to everyone in the end. That may be the best testimony of whatever I did with my life, as I did not any creative endeavor or things like that. So I don't know if it's for you, but those things, those recording of me are very important in my mind. And who knows, they may be used as proof in a future lawsuit. When they will be decreting that all the views that I'm holding are against the law. Some of the things that I say, for example, on those audio chats, they are criminalized in Germany, to give you an example. So even
What's an example of something criminalized in Germany?
Oh, I can say this right now. I don't believe in the existence of gas chamber in Poland during the 40s.
And just that's, saying that, but saying you don't believe it is, that can't be a criminal offense.
Well, yes, and I can say that there was not in that case. And if I say there was not, it's enough to get in court. I mean, you can have that opinion, of course. You are entitled to your opinion. You just don't have the right to express it on a public setting or in a recording, for that matter.
Interesting.
Yes. I don't intend to travel to Germany, and I don't think that everyone will transmit them those recordings. But the fact is that just saying that made me subject to criminal prosecution in Germany. There was this case about this lady, I don't remember her name, and her brother, and apparently she was jailed for, it was more extensive than just one sentence during a conversation, but apparently, she was jailed for that, and I can give you another example of a guy that, as far as I'm concerned, never said much things that were not documented in France about that specific topic, and he was also jailed. Not specifically on what he said about that topic, but what he said in general, and he was jailed for a few months. So
yeah, no, he's still in.
I'm saying this in Germany. You mean?
Yeah, he's in jail right now as we speak.
The guy in Germany, I think that what he did is that he did a Nazi salute in a courthouse or something stupid like that. So in the end, if you want to provocate something, you know what I mean? If you want to play that game with them, you cannot blame the system, because the rules are clear. That they are fair or not, it's a different question, but the rules are clear. So basically, it's pointless provocation, really.
Yeah, no, there's 17 countries in the world that you go to jail for denying that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, make me a list, because no, but, and it's insane, because the fact is that just taking a few hours and some common sense will totally disprove the existence of homicidal gas chamber. It's completely stupid. I read a book recently that was simply called Treblinka, and it was when the book got out, it was said that it was non-fiction, but after a while it was said, a little bit of it was fictionalized, but basically, to make it short, is the story of the death camp of Treblinka that was used to kill an insane amount of people, allegedly. But the best part of the story is that there was an uprising, and after that, the Germans completely destroyed the camp. So in the end, there is absolutely no proof.
Well, there's no pictures of a gas chamber. It has windows and wooden doors.
Mm-hmm. Just that. And then the thing is that, like, for example, the Treblinka camp is still mentioned as being one that was hosting a homicidal gas chamber. But the fact is that apart from testimony of survivor or whoever, there is absolutely nothing that proved that that place ever existed. And I mean, it's impossible to like have a court case and to be convinced of anything. This is just hearsay.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't talk on this because this is being recorded. And if we end up going or taking a trip to Germany, we might not come back.
Yes. The thing is that who is going to transmit that to the German authority?
They're snakes. Listen, I live in America. I go to jail for talking about it here, too. They ruin your life.
Yeah. I always want to extend my knowledge of the German language, so whatever. I will see that as a linguistic trick, if anything.
Yeah, but how ironic, like, what they did about Hitler. They made him out to be so evil in the German people when everything about it is a lie. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame.
Well, it's a big question, to be honest. But like I said, just a simple examination of the fact and the data that we have, which is very lacking because obviously it's long ago and almost all of the people that were there have died or passed away.
Yeah.
So in the end, it's impossible to really establish something. But the fact is that on what we have, it's really hard for anyone with a functioning brain to really hammer the fact that that existed.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't even talk about it because they crucify you instantly. Like, you can't even talk about it in public because they ruin you instantly.
Yes, if you have a public voice. But like on my private life, every time the subject came up, I'm always like, yeah, come on, prove that to me. And I just give the people some basic fact that they don't want to retain. I probably pass as a lunatic when I say that, but the fact is that most of the people that are at least a little bit aware of what is going on, outside of their ass, let's say, they know.
Yeah.
They know. It doesn't hold any scrutiny. So in the end, of course, we can be jailed, we can be convinced, we can be prosecuted or whatever. But the fact remains that they can absolutely not prove anything. So it's just like you say, you are not allowed to speak about it. Because since there is absolutely no proof, if you start to speak about it, if you allow people to speak about it, it's basically done. There is nothing that can be done. The fact is that it will be completely... But if I have one hope, sort of, is that as time flies, like when 9/11 happened or whatever, those things, they disappear. No one really give much thought about it. I mean, all the people that are 20 or less, it will be irrelevant to them, really. They will completely forget about it. It's something that is going to be... When it will be 100 years, it will be completely out of the equation. Of course, it will continue to be hammered and whatever, but it will have no significance, really.
No, that event that in Germany that didn't even happen is controlling us today because they throw it in your face. If that's all they got to say is you're a Holocaust denier and you're ruined. So they throw it in our faces every day. They remind us about it every day in the news, every day. And why don't people ask, okay, if it did happen, why did he do that to these people? Why? And no, they don't have an answer.
Oh, yes. There is an answer which is very contrived and say that everything that happened in Germany finds its root on the inherent anti-Semitism of the European population, from whichever country, by the way, but mainly Poland and Germany. And that's the thing. I saw some things that a friend sent me the other day. And it was those Jewish people on the video clip. They were saying what I say can get me. Like, basically, they say the opposite of what we say. So there is a lady that is saying I'm risking my freedom right now by saying Polish Holocaust. And apparently in Poland, you are not allowed to discuss the fact that the Polish authorities, the Polish people collaborated what supposedly happened there. So basically, there is a pushback for that. And if you mention Polish Holocaust or anything like that when you are in Poland, apparently you can be prosecuted for that.
Yeah,
I'm
Polish. I was born in Poland. I came here in 79 to America. I was born in Poland.
So basically, you were under the communist rule, and I figured that that it was kind of the original sin of the country in that case, in the propaganda that you get at school and everywhere else.
Yeah, but we're under communism in America too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Slowly but surely.
Hey, I'm talking a little bit.
So maybe you will have to move back to Poland to escape communism. How ironic would that be?
No, Poland's not doing much better. You can't get away. You can't get away from communism. The whole world's under it.
It depends. If you have enough wealth to live in the Cayman Islands, there is probably not that much communism around there.
Yeah, I mean, if you have money, it helps you a little, but they'll still destroy you if you even talk about it with money.
Yes, yes. But you can make a decent living in the right-wing system.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but someone decided to buy a stupid car and to make noise, because come on, why not?
Yeah, but you know one thing I noticed? I live in Boston, right near the hospital, and during the whole 18 months, I probably heard about 7 ambulances. Today, I saw 6. I shouldn't say 6, because you'll think I'm like a whatever, but I counted 6 ambulances today in one day. That's absurd. For 18 months, only 6, and now 6 just today. So people are getting sick, or they're turning on their sirens for the hell of it.
Well, so basically you were already in Boston in 2012.
Oh no, I've been in Boston since the year 79.
So not to completely switch topic, but there is so much that we can say about what happened years ago. So you were in Boston during this supposed marathon bombing,
with this massive manhunt
and everything.
Yeah.
And were you aware that it was a fabrication back then?
I was aware. Of course I was aware.
Wow, it was fascinating.
No, it was, if you watch the news, it was fascinating, but I just continued on with my day. Like they said, everything's under lockdown. It wasn't, nothing was under lockdown. Maybe in Watertown, but it was just, I don't pay much attention to it. I just go with my day at least. But I mean, it was like the army was coming to Boston. I mean, on the highway, it was like police cars for the fucking 3 days straight, police cars every day on the highway.
Oh, yeah, but that's just making noise. Like you mentioned for the ambulances, that's just, an easy show to have. I mean, if you want to have people believe that criminality is up, you just make the siren rings for a year and that's about it. Everyone will not know nothing better. So basically not much of the city was in lockdown. Just one small area that was easy to control.
Yeah, it was like a town, water town in around there. But yeah, I mean, I didn't go there, but. They told people to stay home, but no one really stays home. I mean, you know, half the people probably stay home like retards because they think there's something happening.
Yeah. I think that when they tell people to stay home, they are trying to hide something. Not specifically about the event that happened, but maybe something else, you know. Like the legend is that, that's maybe a legend, but allegedly what happened in Germany during World War II. Not that I'm a maniac of that period, but that goes with what I'm saying. When they were making the trains with the wounded and everything cross town, they were making the air siren rings so that everyone was inside and they cannot see that there was this massive train convoy with wounded people and full of cadaver and everything. So maybe it's something like that, you know, not specifically a train with cadaver, but something that in some area they did not want people to see, or at least as few people as possible.
The thing is, like, I don't know what to believe anymore, because everything the media tells us is a lie. So I definitely don't believe anything. Like, it's hard to distinguish what's real or fake. It's like, if it's on the mainstream news, it's probably fake, or the opposite.
Yes, definitely. Well, there is some things that are common sense.
Yes.
But apart from that, everything that is on the news, it's basically a lie, a fabrication. And there is an angle that sometimes we fail to discern. And sometimes I just turn on the news, which happens rarely. But when I do, I just turn on the news and I like, yeah, okay, that angle again. That old tired angle again. So that's how it is. I don't believe anything that is said on the media. And to give you an example, each and every week before those alleged mass protests in France, against the COVID passport, they are giving the number of people that will be on the street the day before. I mean, how smart do you have to be to do that? And it's funny because they always declare that it's the exact same number the day after. They're like, yep, we counted them and see how good we are. We told you on Friday how many people will be there on Saturday. And on Sunday, we can confirm that we were already right. So there isn't much to do with those people. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see, I know things ain't gonna get better because they're not just gonna give up on this and just like everything's gonna go back to kinda normal. Because even if it gets better, it's gotta get worse. So, it's not gonna get better. Either way.
So I was never of the opinion that it was good anyway. As I said times, the world was messed up way before that, and I never see much justice or fairness or humanity or whatever. In individual people, yes, but in the system, in the political authorities or whatever, all those people were monsters before this COVID thing. And if that ever change or stop or whatever, they will still be monsters.
Hi, this is Matthew.
This is Maria Lakita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBF.
Noise level.
Polly Milson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yes, and all those people should be put in jail, and COVID aside, there is 1,000 reasons to put all those people in front of the people's court. But that will never happen. So in the end, okay, this situation, it's terrible. It's maybe a little bit worse than it was before. But it's not like everything that is bad in this world started in late 2019 or early 2020. Everything was messed up and unfair and terrible way before that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been like this. We just didn't realize it. It's basically been like this the whole fucking time.
Oh, yes. Oh, I realized that long ago. Life made me realize long ago that there was not much to expect from this world, except making a good living for yourself, meet some good people, be happy, have a general life, not be a nuisance to the people around you. Apart from that, there isn't much to do, really. The world will not change, people will not change much. I'm not really hopeful for any change or whatever. And even if it changed, even if there was, like, for example, a massive uprising and the political authorities were replaced with something else, I don't think that those people will be any better than the people they will replace anyway.
Yeah, I really believe, like, say there was a huge uprising, say people like me, you, Fakeologists went into power, we'd be so corrupt too when we got all that power, because it's so easy to corrupt.
Oh, best believe that nepotism will be my second name.
Yeah.
That's for certain. And I think that it's a normal human reaction. We will try to do good things. After a while, we will realize what it really is. We will get corrupt by power.
There is no power around it.
Only Fakeologists would be allowed to eat. Everyone else would have to serve us.
Because sometimes when I'm driving around, I'm thinking, I'm like, if I was in power, half these people, I would want to kill myself because they're so stupid.
Well, now you know what the elite think.
I kind of relate to them.
Which is sad, but yes. And then I say that I had this discussion in writing with someone that I will not name because the person is not a... here to defend themselves, but I'm really of the opinion that 90% of the people that I come across every day, so as far as I'm concerned, they could disappear. I will probably not even notice the difference, really. It will be exactly the same thing. I will wake up in the same mood and whatever. It's basically speak a lot to the concept of non-playing character. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not having any ill will toward them or whatever. It's just that, it's a video game. It's just like a video game. They don't really matter much. Their presence has no real sense except to fill the place up. And that's about it. And I don't really try to interact on a deep level with any people really anymore these days. As soon as I know that that person probably spends more than 20 minutes watching the news every day, it's basically a lost cause, in my opinion.
Yep. And ever since this COVID thing, I'm like, I mean, I'm for my family. I'm trying not to be attached to them because I think the doomsday is coming and I just want to get my feelings, you know, so I'm not overwhelmed when something happens. So I don't know. Maybe I got the wrong way of thinking, but I'm just like kind of preparing myself mentally. But I know I'm not going to be here long anyways.
I'm not sure about that. But in the end, my intention was never to wither away in a retirement home. So in that sense, I can only agree with you. The plan was never to be kept alive by modern medicine and slowly wither away, lose my faculty, lose my mind, my memory, everything that is making me. Just because medically they can still keep the machine running. That is not of much interest to me, to be honest.
Yeah, that was the same way I was all my life. I didn't think I'd have to be 30.
You didn't think you'd live till you were 30?
Yeah, for some reason I just never did. But I know my health is deteriorating now because I smoke and I'm so stressed. I can just feel like I've been feeling.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I know it does. But I just, I know my luck. I'll probably suffer for like 10 years. But I just, when I go, I just want to go.
Yeah. Just pull the plug. Don't try to whatever. If it's getting too complicated, just bash me behind the head with a hammer or something. I will be cool with that. I really don't want to, like I said, wither away and lose everything that is making a human and be unable to care for myself and be an embarrassment to my family because granddad is out of it. He's speaking about things that nobody understands. He's yelling about 9/11 again. You know, it doesn't interest me much, really.
Yeah, plus when I think, like, I lost a couple of those friends, and I think about it, like, we're so afraid of death. It's like, and I'm not really religious, but I believe it's better. It's better there. I truly believe that. Well, I hope it is. Or whatever it is, but we're so afraid to go there.
Well, I'm not ready to find out. Hopefully you aren't either.
No, seriously. Believe me, I know my body and I know it's wrong, but I just, life goes on. Say I die, life goes on. My friend died. Yeah, you feel sad. Life goes on. And it's just because you're attached to people and you're close to people and you love people, you're going to miss them. But
can I offer you some memorial web space? Not to be too morbid, but I was thinking maybe.
Sure.
A digital tombstone, perhaps?
Yeah, I would suggest you could take a life insurance policy out on me.
On you?
Yeah, it'd be easy.
It would probably cost about $10,000 a month by the sounds of it. I don't think,
Like $50 a month?
I don't think so. If you say you're as in bad shape as you say you are, whatever your age is, they build that into the premium. So you can't even get life insurance that makes any sense after a certain age, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I know. I get offers in the mail all the time, you know, that bullshit. But I never look into it because I have no kids and stuff like that. So,
well, just the travel medical insurance, at a certain age, it becomes impossible for most people to pay for that. So, for instance, the people that go from Canada to Florida, they have to buy medical insurance, top-up insurance. And after 80, things go completely logarithmic, exponential, rather. Very expensive.
Yeah. But see, like I said, I don't have kids. And when I did go to Canada, I didn't think of that stuff. And I don't think of that stuff to this day. I just don't think about the future. Like he said, going to a nursing home because I'll have no benefits or nothing. Who's going to take care of me? The state.
Yeah. Well, that's why when you do have children, though, that's what makes this whole digital revolution, slavery 2.0, all the more relevant. If you don't have a future or future generations, then of course you're not going to be as worried. You're only worried about tomorrow and what you're having for dinner.
Oh, yeah, no, believe me. Yeah, no,
children
but believe me.
Children make it really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, when this COVID first came out, I was driving around crying because I felt bad for the kids and the generation.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I care about people. I don't go out of my way. But thank God I don't have kids because I don't know what I would do today.
Well, you would just try and help them along and just support them. That's all you can do. Because you can't change the world. I wish you could.
Yeah,
but I'm hoping unvaccination starts eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. By the way, since I got you on audio, the guy you interviewed earlier, Jacqua, he was really interested in hearing again the final product. So you get at least someone that is anxious for you to render the last.
Yes, I will do that before I retire for the evening. I will try and do that. He's a really smart guy. Well spoken. He's a fellow Canuck. So I hope he comes back. Really sharp as a tack.
Well, he's posting on the Discord, so I think that he has an interest. And he was there. So it's, even if it's just a one-off, it's always a great thing to have new voices, new perspective.
Yeah. No, he said he'd come back to my show next week. So he'll do a show with me, hopefully. With the good mic and all that. So, yeah, it'll be good. I hope. He's totally in the psyops. He knows that the event in London was a complete hoax. Of course, that's gone from everyone's memory now, but nobody knows about it anymore. It's totally irrelevant.
It was 7/7.
It was on 7/7? No, I'm talking about the one in London, Ontario.
Ah, sorry about that.
It's where they drove over the guy. The white supremacist drove over the Muslim family on the sidewalk.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. It's funny because in Europe, it's the opposite. It's the Muslim guy that is running around and the non-Muslim people. At least that's the narrative. It was all the rage for a while. There was some in Germany, some in France. It's just like the team of the season. And after that, it's season four and there is a new team and it's stabbing attacks. And next year it will be another thing.
Yeah. Yeah, every country has their own, customization.
It's funny because except mine, we didn't have any terrorist attack. I mean, some people in the 80s, some alleged eco warrior, they detonated a bomb car in Geneva, but the thing is that they called like 2 hours before to advise everyone what was going to happen. So, we don't have terrorism, we don't have random violence or anything. We do have some criminality, of course. I'm not saying I'm living in paradise, but as far as those big hoaxes and everything, we don't have one per se. The only one that I can think of is in 2001, there was a guy named Fritz something that uses the army-issued assault rifle to shoot the parliament in some region of the country, but no one remembers it. We don't really have that much of a formative event for the installation of the New World Order, if you want.
Yeah, you got one terrorist, on Lake Geneva there, yeah. The UN devils too. You guys, that's enough terrorism for one country, that guy.
Yes, but come on, it's not like they are saying that he's a terrorist. He's basically a hero, which is insane because before that, all the people that are on the left of the political side, they were shitting on the Davos Forum, like massively. They're like, this is a rampart of not globalist, but capitalist. This is a thing that we cannot allow. And it's not normal that those people get together and decide the future of the world in an economic perspective and everything. And all those people don't mention it at all. Suddenly this guy is a hero and everything he does is great. They don't mention him much, but he got some decent exposure. He was a public persona in Switzerland, but he was not, I mean, no one on the street would have recognized the guy. Me comprising that before all this.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing we'll be hearing from him a lot more.
Yeah, apparently this little program of a book is going to be applied to each and every one of us at one point. So yes, there is something to it, definitely. But this guy, it's not like that it was nobody, of course, in the circle of power, the economical force and everything, he was well known. But the common folk of the street like me never knew much about the guy, to be honest. And it was not like, because of course it was on the news each and every year, the WF, but it was not like, oh, today in the WF, Klaus Schwab met Bill Gates or Bill Clinton or whoever. It just didn't mention the guy. People knew that he was at the top of it. he was interviewed on French Swiss television a few years back and he said some rather interesting thing at that time, but that's about it. And once again, if anyone can give me the location of the guy in Switzerland, I'm interested.
You want to go visit him?
Yeah, why not? Somebody get to answer for everything we are living. I have some questions to ask. Don't know if I will get close enough, but I'm really interested. If anything, I want to know someone that has that much power over the world is living in my country. If anything, because if things go down, that may be the safest place to go. The village or the city is in. Best place to be if there is ever a crisis. Those people will not lack any food. Even if the powers go down, they will probably have a supply of power, have everything that I will ever need. So in the end, if it goes down to a destroying of civilization, pillage and everything, and looting, that's the best place to loot. So if anything, I'm really interested in knowing where we are. Just if everything goes down, that's the place to be. They will have everything I will ever need to survive. But I don't know. Maybe the elites have a contingency plan and if things go down, then we all be in some specific place of the world, like New Zealand or something like that. So yes, once again, I'm really interested in knowing where this guy is living when he's in Switzerland, because that must be firstly a very nice place, probably a decent setting, magnificent view and everything. And they are stuck. They have everything they need. Food, water, electricity, security, weapons, women, whatever you want, they will have in the end. So if everyone else, as much as I like hearing the sound of my own voice and I can continue to blabber on for hours, if anyone else wants to say something, now is the time.
Yeah, I'm going to have a bite to eat right now, so I won't be talking.
Yeah, obviously. So since there is a few people on the room once again, If someone has something to say, if not, I will mute for a minute and we will resume when the times is good. And I also want to say I'm terribly sorry for all the small mistakes in the English language I'm making when I speak, but it's really hard for me to try to put a point forward and concentrate on having a perfect English. So sometimes I'm slip up and I'm sorry about it.
You know I'm going to tell you rarely slip up, rarely.
Yes, and now I got my own English professor, so I will be only better with time. And if I manage to live in the UK, soon enough I will be speaking like someone that is living all his life there. And everyone will be thinking I was an agent all the time.
But the question is, are you going to get annoyed if she keeps correcting you after a period of time? And will you stop allowing for that?
No, I specifically, I required that because she's too kind with me. She will never, never pick me up and say, okay, so that was wrong. That is not the correct way to say it. So basically I asked her to do it because my intention is to live there for the longest period of time. Probably
how
until
long,
I die, so.
There's a honeymoon period for everything. How long is that going to last?
Well, the thing is that as I like to take matters in my own hands, so when I will be bored of that, I will just tell her to stop and I will take some proper English lesson again. So at least I will not be mad with her because she will not be the
person.
Okay,
let's take some bets now and see how long that lasts.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Well, I hope that it will be the longest period possible because she intends on learning French. So if I correct her and she correct me, we maybe ended up hating each other in a span of a few months.
Yeah, well, all the cute things become annoyances after time. Say, oh, he's so cute when he does that. Then they say, oh, my God, he's doing that again. He's driving me nuts.
Yes. It's like everything in life. If you don't, you miss every shot you don't take. So if someone thinks that they can find happiness somewhere, just go there and try it. Life is full of different phases. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it didn't work out. And that's how it is. But if you didn't try, you will never know if there was a chance. Maybe that's where your happiness was all this time. And like many people are doing in life, those people will be like, oh, no, I cannot risk it. I have too much to lose. Whatever, I lived all my life in specific country where I was born in, which I am a citizen of. But I'm more than ready to leave it all behind me to try to have a new life. And I think that everyone should have that mentality. If something is more... I know that the grass is always greener somewhere else, and I know that will not be all... simple and everything. I know that I will probably have a stupid, meaningless job that I hate. But I mean, it's probably worth it. And if it's not and I was wrong, well, whatever. That's life. I always wanted to live in a foreign country. I'm 37. I'm young enough to rebuild my life there. Now is probably the time.
All right, I'm going to take a break now. I see Babette and Salt have both tuned out. And so you got Stupid on mute.
As I said in the beginning of the recording, I'm with Stupid.
Cancel the repairs, give me the money back.
Okay, I'll be back. Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm the only one speaking for the moment, but that's not an issue. Once again, I'm just fascinated by the fact that, and it's kind of stupid, I know, but I'm fascinated by the fact that you were in Boston in 2012 and whatever. Because like I said when you were muted, I'm living in Geneva. There is absolutely no things like that ever happened here. I mean, in terms of hoaxes and everything. That's why I was, and I still am so excited to go and work inside of CERN. Because nothing ever happened here. That's the closest thing you will get to a live hoax, the CERN here.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, that place where that happened, I've been there hundreds of times. But I did. But it was fucking fake as fucking dollar bill. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I knew that back then. Lucky me.
Yeah. I woke up the fakery when I was kind of young, in my teens. I kind of woke up after. Well, remember Waco back in '92 or '93, something like that, Waco.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember I was 9 at the time, but I remember it.
Oh, okay. So you're young. But when I watched that footage, I mean, they faked that, too. That was fucking, it was just fake. I mean, I don't know if it was fake, but it was a lie from what they said. Like, the cops shot themselves by accident. It was all lies.
If there was even people in that compound.
Oh, I don't know about that. But like, you know how the DEA guys got killed and shot? Like,
oh yeah,
they shot each other, but they blamed it on them, so they were all bad. So that's when my bells went off.
Yeah, but I will think probably that the fact that you started your life in a communist country, how can I say that? Formed your mentality in the fact that the news and the system was basically telling you only lies. That was probably a little help in you discerning when you were in the USA that it was not what it was supposed to be. And especially if you are really aware of your surroundings, it's true that events like Waco or the Oklahoma City bombing or even the most ridiculous of them all, the first bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993.
Oh, yeah.
This one was the worst.
Yeah, but I take that back when I say Waco. I remember the first time I saw the JFK assassination. I don't know. That was the 90s sometime. And I knew they were lying about that. So that's what, like, made me always be a conspiracy person. So it's just you can't believe nothing. Nothing and everything we were taught is a lie. Everything.
Sadly, that's a fact. There is absolutely nothing that we can trust that is on the media, whichever side of the media, by the way, because with the rise of the World Wide Web, there is right-wing media, you can get left-wing information, you can get whatever you want, but everything is controlled anyway.
Yeah, and like I tend to do, I blame the Jewish, but the reason why I do that is because everyone says, like, you know, even people who are brainwashed, half of them still don't trust the media, and everyone blames the media. It's like, it's not the media, it's the owners of the media. You can't hold the media responsible. You got to hold the owners of the company. You just can't say, oh, it's McDonald's fault and nothing happens. What are you going to arrest the company? They have owners. And maybe if it's not them, then I don't know who the fuck it is.
Well, I will venture to say that this is the owners of the owners that are the real problem.
Yeah, exactly. But that's if I was a detective, that's who I would go after. I'd go question them.
Yeah, definitely. That the first one to get in an interrogation room.
Yeah.
But who knows, maybe those people, they have absolutely no idea. Maybe they think that they are at the top of the pyramid, at least most of them. And they are persuaded that they know everything that happened, that they are in control of everything. But I say that many times on air, I really wish it was that simple. I really wish there was just a population in the world. Like, for example, the Inuits, we say, okay, fuck that, it's the Inuits. The root of the evil is the Inuits. So basically, we just drown them all, and the world will be better. But that's absolutely not what is going to happen. We can eliminate all the Inuits in the world, and someone else will take the spot.
Yeah. And three, number 19.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm just in the store. Yeah, three. Thank you.
So yes, as I see it, it's really, really not that simple. As there is one population, we just get to eliminate those people, destroy them and their kids and everything, and everything that bears their name, we destroy it. I just wish it was that simple, but it's not.
I'm not saying it's like it's all the Jewish
people.
Yeah, I know it's not that. I'm saying if I was a detective, I'd go to CNN, I'd be like, who's telling you to say this to the anchor? And then I'd go down my ladder. Okay, he's telling me to say this. And that's where I would start. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Where would you start if you were going to fix the problem? You'd have to go to the media and see who's telling them to do this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The media. I will start with a journalist and then the channel owner, and then it will probably drive you to some political figure. And after that, I have absolutely no idea. Maybe at one point you will be finding yourself in front of an interdimensional being. Who knows?
Yeah, you'd be dead by the time you got to... As soon as you were that detective, you'd be dead.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, like Ab was saying, and we were saying... Even if we were in power, anyone who gets power is going to be corrupt. It's just, that's why the world will never be perfect, because it'd be too good.
Yes, because in the end, we are not better than anyone else. We are pragmatic people. And,
exactly.
If the right person was to get my ears when I am in power, I'm pragmatic. I will be like, okay, now I see the big picture. It's not that this is right. I know that this is wrong. I know that this is not the way to treat people and whatever. But I'm still going to go forward with it. just because it's easy and in the end it's the best way. And yeah, that's how it is. So the thing is that there is no real hope for a switch in power that will change anything. What I'm really getting more and more a proponent of is an autonomous zone.
The what zone? Economic?
Autonomous, in the mean that you have autonomy, you don't depend on the government of the country you are located in, and basically you administer your thing on a sort of tribal level. Your own justice, your own enforcement, your own taxes, if you desire to have taxes, and that's basically it. And it can be as big as a city or as small of a block of buildings, or just a street. But I think that we have to go macro on the government, have a centralized government that is deciding everything, just not the way to go.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, that's what's like fascinating about life. It's like, you just don't know what's gonna happen. And I don't know, I'm kinda like, you know, down on life ever since COVID. I mean, it's starting to make me like, I don't know, kind of angry-ish just because people are so dumb. Like, how could they fall for this shit?
I don't know, but I cannot say that I'm surprised, and I say that many times, but I think it's fascinating. I'm living in a book from Isaac Asimov or something like that, or the beginning of a book by Isaac Asimov, or at the point of the book when they tell you why the world turned that way. And I think it's fascinating. I mean, people were always stupid. that's why the system is still up as it is right. So in the end, I just want to see how far will it go, really. And I have kids, and I am obviously sad for them and whatever. But in the end, their life is their life. It's not my life. They will not living the same condition I'm living, and that's their destiny, and they have to accomplish it. So me, for myself, on an egoist level, just for myself, on a selfish level, I would say I just want to see how far will it go. I'm just fascinated by that. It's like I want to know the rest of the book. Sadly, I will not live long enough to see the end, but the chapter I mean, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, that's the thing about life. You will never know, and then you'll die. And life just continues on. It's just a big cycle or whatever it is. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, and my grandchildren will know nothing about me. I will not even exist or be a thing anymore. And that's how it is. And that's great. And we don't have to worry much. The world will continue. And the future doesn't care for us, really. We care about the future, but the future, it doesn't care for us.
Yeah. Hey,
that's all there is to it.
I'm going to give you a website. There's not a lot on there, but you get truth on there. I mean, you get videos that you won't find on the, you know, it'll be hard to find. But it's a good site. I mean, it doesn't have a lot, like maybe 30 or 40 posts a day. But the stuff on there that you won't see on the internet, I mean, you don't got to pay for it or nothing. It's free. But that's where I get a lot of my information from. Like I said, there's not much on there. But that's even if you get it, if you live in Germany. Oh, no, Switzerland.
What I will advise you to do is simply to put it on the show notes on the server.
listen.
That way everyone can access it.
I don't know how to do that. I just got this little device that I'm talking on.
Understood. Just tell me the name of the site and I will do it myself.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's the number 153news.net. Yeah, 153news.net. I mean, if they have, like, maybe if you go to Google, it probably won't pop up, but if you go to Bing or something, a different server, then it'll pop up.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, there's not much on there.
Show notes for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is there is of value.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's good stuff on there, but stuff that you won't see on the regular internet because, I mean, they shut the guy down already like 5 times and he's not going to put it back up if they steal his server again.
Huh. There is only one website in French language that I know of that is constantly under attack, and this is a fascist website. To be honest, in France, don't know of any site that is telling the truth, that is put down or anything. But as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, it's mostly because they denounce a certain community that is on top of the media.
Yeah.
And I don't know for the rest of the world, but in France, it's completely insane. I will say that the 10 most important figures of COVID are all members of that community.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something now, because if I see, like, because I live in, I was going to see if I could see the moon right now and ask you if you see, but I don't know, I don't see it yet.
Oh, I'm going to move a little bit around to see if I can see it, but it's kind of covered tonight, so, and I'm inside of the city, so I really have no way to go into some rooftop to really have the view of the sky.
Yeah, but if you're
most
in the city,
it's obfuscated.
Yeah, but if you're in the city, because I'm in the city, and I can, when the moon's out, I can see. It's the stars that you can't see, really.
Yes, yes, but now, I mean that because of the breathing, I will have to find an open space inside of the city to be able to see the moon.
Yeah, no, it's no big deal because I don't see the moon. I was just going to see it, and if I see it, and if the earth is round, flat, whatever the fuck it is.
I don't hold any definitive opinion on that subject, to be honest. Yeah. I maybe not smart enough to really give a definitive opinion on that. I think that it's round, but I don't really have any basis to say that. It's just what I think because I was told that it's a fact.
Yeah, but I was told when I was in school, when I'm on the ocean, I see the boats going away. They're going over the curve, and now they got cameras, and you could bring boats back in from 20, 30 miles out.
Yeah. It's really a strange and complicated issue. The thing is that what would really make me think that the Earth is flat, at least not the shape that it described, is the simple fact that the whole flat Earth movement was ridiculed. And if you get a documentary about a movement on Netflix that is trying to make fun out of it, there may be something to it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's flat like a pancake, and not at all. It's probably rocky and shit, but I know it's not a ball. I don't think it's a ball because, first of all, it's supposed to be spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. I don't think it's fucking spinning.
Yeah. All I can say is that, probably with the anti-vaxxers, and I mean, even before this COVID thing, the people from Flat Earth, they are probably the most ridiculed in the media and everything, so.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Still there?
And it's, yes, and it's great that we came to the topic of the flat Earth because he's muted and he cannot hear us at the moment. But Ab, former guest from earlier today, Flat Earth Jacquois, Jacquois is the way I will pronounce it, is here with us. So maybe if he unmutes or if he plugs in his earphones, we'll have the chance to have someone that seems to know a little bit about the topic.
Yeah,
like I said, the technical reasons, I'm really impervious to it because I'm not smart enough to really understand them. But, I know that if the movement is really ridiculous, there may be something to it.
Oh, listen, just when I first, back in the 80s, when I first saw the astronaut footage when they went to the, and they had that backpack with their air conditioning system, their breathing system, in a little briefcase, it's like, how the fuck does that work? A little suitcase holds temperature, air conditioning, your oxygen, in a briefcase. You really think that's possible?
Yeah, especially considering that at the time it was not even possible to make a cell phone, the size of a briefcase. So
yeah, but then again, that was completely fake. I mean, if you look at NASA to this day, they say the space station is real. They can't put a camera on it to show us the Earth 24/7. They should have like 20 cameras on there so we could look at it every day at Earth. And there's not one camera. It's all lies.
Yes, it's true that everything that is interesting has a webcam, except from Earth. That's the only thing.
Except the space station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
know that it's a bunch of lies. I don't know why. It may be a mental programming or whatever. I just cannot really, how can I say that? Accept the fact that the Earth is not a ball shaking that is moving in the universe.
Yeah, but
the concept itself, just verbalizing it, it sounds stupid, to be honest. A ball that is floating in the universe and turning on itself at an insane speed.
Yeah. I mean, whoever created it, or however it was created, it could have been created any shape. It could have been a triangle. But anyways, that's getting off the topic. But Ab had that other guy on a couple nights ago that, you know, he was showing his Earth, how they're hiding land. Like, I believe in that. They're hiding land from us.
Yes, it was unreal. It was unreal. Yeah, unreal. That person.
Yeah. I completely agree with him 100% because they are hiding shit from us without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. I will agree that there is a lie. There's a definite lie. Everything, they are not straightforward and whatever. But it's so difficult. Everything is so blurry. You have all those contrary opinion. And like I said, yeah. I fear that I'm not smart enough or
Listen, if you woke up to the media lying to you about everything, you're smart enough.
Yeah, like depending on the technical level.
Yeah, but that's okay. Listen, even the people who are smart technically, they're dumb in other aspects.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, they're even more dumber than the dumb people. But
yes, I think that the general population is borderline retarded, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, you have kids, so I can't relate with you, but I never wanted kids. I didn't want that responsibility, and I didn't want to bring them into this hellhole.
Well, I'm really not well placed to speak about that, because I'm probably the worst father there is in the universe. But the fact is that for me, it was not, how can I say that? And I said before that I wanted my kid to listen to me, so I really tried to be diplomatic. But my plan was not to have a kid at age 22, to be honest.
Yeah.
It just happened, and after that, everything was different. But like I said, it's not that I'm detaching myself from it or whatever, but that's their life. That's their destiny, and nothing I can do will change the world that we are living in anyway, so I try to not think too hard about it, and I just accept the fact that the world is what it is, and I can try to make it a little bit better, of course. I'm not actively trying to let them a world that is more terrible than the one I grew up in, but the march of the world will continue, and they will have to live with it, whether I want it or not. All I can do is give them some good advice and not try to be too much all over them with, eight years old, you're like, 9/11, you know what 9/11 is, come on. It's I don't want my kids to be outcast or whatever. If they ever found out about media fakery and everything, it may be because I give them the example, but I will not actively try to brainwash them to think like me or whatever. In the end, I want my kids to be happy, and retards are happy. The common folks I come across on the street every day, they look happy. They are not really happy. They are controlled. Life is terrible. I understand that. But in a sense, that knowledge that we have is a sort of poison. It really changes everything in life.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. If I had kids like you, I wouldn't want to tell them because it shatters your world. You know, you think completely thinking differently, like you just got to let nature take its course and let them figure it out. If you tell this to your kids, it's devastating news, and it's just going to have an effect on their life.
What you guys are saying is that the truth is dangerous. Are you? You have the view that the truth is bad for them.
Yeah, it's
not that it's bad for them, but it's something that I will not say they have to discover it on their own and whatever, but the fact is that try to hammer it into their head, it will do them no good. We just have to slowly but surely lead by example. Just basically, if I ever watch the news with my daughter or my son, they will realize what I think, but I don't need to hammer them and try to turn them into what I want them to be, in a sense. You know what I mean? They still have to live their own destiny and try to be decent people. And you can try your best. You can really try your best and have a kid that is fucked up and that will do nothing in life or be a terrible person.
I think if I was raising a child now, I would obviously keep him away from television.
Oh, definitely.
And then, you know, I would do my best. I would really just talk about how I see the world rather than, and certainly not allow him to watch television. I think it's time to come out of the world, really.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think the idea that you do harm to young children, I don't think that's correct. I think harm is being done to them now by allowing them to become of this world.
Yes, that may be right, really. But the thing is that I don't live in a commune or any type of life setting that will allow me to really remove them from society as it is.
So maybe that's what I have to do,
definitely. That may be the issue, really. But the fact is that what I have to do is, as much as possible, try to help them be prepared for the world that we are living in. Not by lying to their face each and every time I open my mouth, but yeah, just try to be not too hard on them with that, and give them the chance to figure at least a part of it by themselves. Not everything, to give them a frame, if you want, a frame to see the world, but not to impose my views on them and everything. And I mean, if your kids is on the public school system, come on, it's completely impossible. You are fighting a losing battle anyway. So it's not that hard to give up on our kids, but yes, there is a point where in the end they will be bored because they are kids. There is only so much things that you can speak to them on that topic. And as you probably know, the kids, they end up rejecting at the time in life, they end up rejecting what you preach to them. So basically not giving them too much of the business too early might help them form their own opinion, and I think that it's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm not of that view anymore. I don't think we do anyone any benefit by inculcating them in this world.
Mm-hmm. The thing is that you are here longer than me. I will have to defer to your opinion on that.
Stupid came to the conclusion that the world was so bad that he shouldn't have children. That's
yes.
And so, yeah, so if another old approach could have been, he could have had children, but not brought them into this world, but brought them into the real world.
Yes, but I'm really agreeing on you that as much as possible, we should remove ourselves from the world, but... In my case, I mean, taking my kids out of this world, it will amount to kidnapping.
Sure. No, I'm not talking about your existing children. The comment I made was, if I was to raise a child now from birth, I would do a different thing. It's, you know, once they're in school, it's very, very difficult thereafter. The system, the education system is a powerful, well-honed weapon.
Yes, It's impossible to fight against that.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't expect anyone to do that. You know, essentially, I think the education system removes our children from us.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It used to be that the person that was teaching your kid was a member of the community that you knew and respected. It's not the case anymore.
No.
But someone was about to talk, a feminine voice, if I'm correct, and we cut that person off. So.
Oh, it was only me. I was just agreeing, yeah. I mean, because now it's like they're corporate parents, aren't they? But they're not in a good way. Like they've given that name corporate parent, but we know what that means, you know.
Yeah.
So you're right, Frank. You know, they're totally put off that child from their family, basically. Totally.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to me. I was totally disenfranchised from my parents, and it didn't give them the respect they were due at all.
Me too, as well. I thought, you know, my parents were very strict, and I thought, yeah, well, I can have my freedom, I can do what I want, and, you know. But hindsight is great now that I have my own child, but at the same time I give her the freedom, but in another way she doesn't really want it either, you know. It's really strange. It's like she wants to do what she wants to do, but, you know, not to the extent where I wanted to be wild, you know. She's not really like that at this age anyway. Age, I mean, that could all change, but yeah, I do believe the education now is to you know, to change the mindset, and like you say, to drag children away from their parents. I mean, I've just had a friend over tonight, and she was saying that her daughter, she's like 21, her daughter who's at university, and now her daughter is throwing a lot of things away, like because she's made mistakes herself as a young person, which is natural because we all do.
It's natural. The mistakes I made were, you know, largely because I was disrespectful to the thinking of my parents, to be truthful. But yeah, go ahead.
And that's all it is. It's because of some mistakes she's making. She's totally blaming her mum and her stepdad for those mistakes now, so saying she wasn't raised properly, all of this shit. And my neighbour was saying a similar thing about her own daughter, who is but has a baby, but because she's had a kid and she's, you know, recently had a child, and, you know, parenthood is really hard when you first have a child, but she's kind of blaming her mum for that. But it's funny how we change, you know, because I was the same as well when I was younger. But as you get older and you have your own children and you understand how hard it can be to be a parent in this world, you kind of understand forgiveness as well. So yeah, your parents might not have been perfect, but they didn't know any better, so you kind of forgive them, you know, because it's hard for anyone to survive in this world, you know, bring up family.
My parents were traumatized by World War II, and their families were traumatized by World War II, and so by the time they kind of worked out what was going on in their lives, they'd already, you know, followed the rules of, well, in my case, my parents immigrated migrated away from their family from the UK to Australia. And I think as we're all realizing now, Australia is probably the most controlled of the places in the world.
Yeah.
The conformity
I would
is,
agree with you there.
You know, absolutely how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. From the footage I've seen and all the stuff, like, you know, online and in the Australia, it just seems really intense. Like, and it's bizarre because I think we're compliant here, but a lot of the stuff they're getting away with there, I do think it wouldn't fly here at all. I think surely even the most blinded of sheep, they wouldn't put up with that stuff. It's so bizarre. And I can't imagine many Australians putting up with that either. And I just wonder, is it being exaggerated? Mad?
Well, it's when you say putting up with it, they're applauding it. People are applauding it.
So they are.
You know, they want more. Lock us down harder.
Yeah, which is the same here, it seems, and like everywhere. And I just wonder where this the fighting spirit has gone for these countries who
because what they've done is said, yeah, we're all in this together. Come on, we're fighting Aussies. Let's put up with all this stuff because we're fighting Aussies. You know, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
Yeah.
They take that zeitgeist and just pervert it.
Yeah, I just find it really hard to get my head around. I think we do because we've resisted it for so long, and it's just I still can't fathom it now. Even though it's 18 months on the line, I still can't get my head around it. I really can't. I just find it really difficult. Is it mad?
It's, yeah.
LSG33.
I'm Rachel.
Conoco.
I'm Original Simulant.
Robbie Parker.
This is O'Hallahan.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
So I think the issue is that most of the control is, you know, for people between, say, 30 and 50, say, 30 and 45. And those people were raised in an education system that was highly successful in generating that kind of false community sacrifice thing. And that's where it's all happened. So what I call the zeitgeist, the prevailing spirit of the people between the age of 30 and 45, say, is save the world from evil pollution and save the world from the irresponsible baby boomers who destroyed everything.
Yeah.
And we're the ones really that think, I don't think this is quite right.
Yeah, you're right, because they seem to just have people by the ball either way, because they're like, oh, look at all this, we're all in this together, it's like wartime, look at the, you know, the camaraderie, you can be part of something.
Yeah, join your Zoom karaoke.
Yeah, yeah, just get used to things, or you can, you know, protect the older generation, you know, don't be killing people's grand, or, you know, the manipulation is really deep, isn't it? They've got everyone some way.
Yep. That's why I think you know, if you were raising a child now, to just allow them to be immersed in the system would be an error, I think.
Yeah, when you were saying before, if you had your time again,
but obviously I'm not. I was really saying if I was raising a child now, this is what I would do with my current understanding.
Yeah, me too. I'd be able to know where I would send my child to school. I mean, unfortunately, I've done it the wrong way, and my child loves school system, you know, and would be really mad at me if I pulled her out of it, which I've explained in the past. You know, but yeah, if I knew what I knew,
we'd do it differently. Yeah.
Yes, I would say that in my case, I stopped school at 12. My daughter is now 14. So basically, every time I say something, I'm like, yeah, but in school, she's like, what do you know about school? And she's right in the end. She knows more about that topic than I do at this point. So as much as I can try to give her like the life experience that I have, transmit something or anything. In my case, there is always that point. You stop school at 12. What do you even know about school after that?
And then to get that,
I know absolutely nothing.
And even to get the control of the raising of your child, you effectively have to make sure you avoid the birth certificate trap, and that takes, you know, another level of knowledge again. So to gain control of your life, there's a lot of learning to be done. And the issue is that women have their children when they're not likely to be old enough to have established that knowledge. So, yeah, so it's really
yes, and the fact is that
if
you don't manage, which was my case both times, to stay with the lady as a father, the influence that you have on the kid is absolutely nothing. Really. You have to really get lucky on the separation with your then girlfriend or wife, which I will probably advise everyone to never have a child out of wedlock for the simple fact that it establishes a contract and some standard has to be set before everything is signed. So in that regard, but you are fighting your ex, you are fighting the system, you are fighting the school system, you are fighting everything in the end, and it's It's impossible for a man on his own to win those battles, especially if there is acrimony with the mother of the kid and everything.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, so that's where we're at, I think. You know, and I'm not recommending anyone beat their head against a brick wall against stuff that's already happened. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and that's exactly. I mean, they've deliberately created the system that way because their objective is to divide families, you know, split families up and to give the power, like you say, Benoit, you've got more right when you're married, you know, than when you're not. And it's deliberate. And then they've tried to like say to us, oh, well, marriage isn't that important, you know, you don't need marriage. Yep. And, you know, it's all part of the whole. So I agree on that.
So it's that discussion that we've just had in the last few minutes there that has led me to the conclusion that, you know, using the Bible for whatever you think of its truth or otherwise is still the most sensible way for people of all faiths and views to operate in. It's just simply going to be the most effective way to be able to stand against the difficulties of raising children, of establishing a successful life for the people you bring into the world, in my opinion.
I would agree with you on that, to be honest. I'm not specifically a religious person per se, but I can say that on my life experience, I always saw more closeness, more happiness with the people that were living by the standard of the Bible, or that the religious appartenance of Catholicism. I always saw that those people were more close, that the family unit was stronger. But I have to say that, not to switch completely the topic or whatever, but since we have the guy on, we have a new person on this server, which is Flat Earth Jacquois.
Yes, I am here.
I look forward to listening to this.
Because I don't want to, yes, exactly. So I'm not going to give you a long, wide-end intro. The thing is that the chat that you had with the Fakeologist or Ab earlier, it has not been yet rendered. So for all of us, we never heard you again, ever. So I give you the floor.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I'm kind of new to Discord. I heard of it for a while. I'd signed up to some other Discord channels maybe back last year or the year before. So right now when I was in here at Discord, I didn't really realize there was anything even going on since I had it muted and deafened. So I didn't mean to be like, you know, listening. I wasn't listening and I didn't even know I was part of something until Benoit here messaged me. So Discord's not too familiar with me. I'm not on here for a specific reason to talk about anything specific. This is all new to me. So this is, maybe one of you guys could just tell me what happens here on Discord, specifically this server. Like, you guys, like, whoever just shows up, maybe I'm a little confused about it all. Like, is this always just people here talking on here, or is this just you started this up a bit ago?
The key thing you need to know is that anything you say is recorded and can be used against you.
Good to know. Okay.
That's the key thing. The idea is
it's an informal gathering where we discuss different topics. And on the part that I am responsible for, it's every Friday night. I mean, most Friday night, I try sometimes to have a topic to discuss, but in the end, it's kind of a free-for-all. So we went over many different topics. Just before I sent you the message, we were discussing your family rights and raising your kids, but we went a little bit about Flat Earth, and we discussed media fakery, the Boston alleged bombing. So basically, since we are all people from different parts of the world, I mean, we have someone from Australia, someone is in Quebec, the other one is in the UK, another one is in Boston, and I am in Switzerland. So basically, it's a gathering of the mind.
So just from my point of view,
okay,
I'm very interested in what you say, because I have the view, well, I'm going to make a statement. Everybody assumes that the Earth is flat and unmoving for all practical purposes.
Everybody who's listening right now, you mean?
Everybody. Some people.
No, I mean everybody in the universe. That we believe in flat Earth or not.
No, every person, every living man or woman, whether they realize it or not, assumes for all practical purpose that the Earth is flat and unmoving. There's no application of the spinning ball, practical spinning application of the spinning ball.
I see what you mean, that there's no actual ball experience that people have in their everyday lives. Is that what you're.
No, yeah,
I agree.
Right. And in every way, what happens to people is that, you know, for example, if you're flying in a plane from New York to Los Angeles, you don't make any allowance for the fact that the Earth is spinning under your feet. So there's no, you know, and when you use a spirit level, the whole idea of a spirit level is that you assume that water will lie flat and level. That's how it works.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't need to be convinced.
No, I'm just saying that. So I'm interested in hearing what your topic, simply because, just to let you know where I'm coming from, it's a topic.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Interesting to me.
Oh, I thought you were trying to like convince me. I was like, no.
Your side. The other way altogether. I was just trying to encourage you to expand on your thoughts. That's all.
Oh, I see. Well, my thoughts are that other than the surface of water being level, that's provable enough. The rest is kind of an unknown. And I think just being able to say, I don't know, means you're ready to learn more. So I've got this term from somebody else that I'm shape agnostic. I mean, I don't claim to know what's going on. I just kind of know what it isn't, and it isn't what they say. So anything beyond that's pretty speculative. I mean, we can theorize and stuff, but, I don't think anybody really knows, or if they do know, they're not online trying to tell people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I don't mean like people aren't online that are genuine talking about it. It's just that anyone saying they definitively know, I believe that.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are people that know, for sure. But they're not going to provide us with the data.
Probably not.
No, the plan is to keep everyone confused.
Certainly looks that way. Yeah.
I'm sorry, flat earth, is it Jacquois or Jacquois?
Different ways to pronounce it. I'll go with Jacquois. Or you can just say, you can just say Jacob. It's really just a nickname.
Wait, is the majority...
It's okay, sorry. I just wanted to quickly say, you really sound like Tim Osman, who was on last week. He's like, he used to be a flat earth skeptic, and I must say, you really sound like him, but I don't know if I'm just being ultra paranoid.
Yeah, there's no reason to be paranoid. I mean, I may have even picked up a lot of his mannerisms. I've listened to him for a number of years.
I don't mean IBS Tim Osman. I mean the other Tim Osman. Sorry, I just thought you really sounded like him, and he's like a flat earth skeptic. I mean, maybe, like I say, I'm being paranoid, but he did used to do this like pose as a flat earth. Not that I'm a flat earth, so I was immersed in it for some time, but now I don't really care about earth shape, but I appreciate people that do. But I just wondered if it's okay. Sorry, I just wondered if you were really him, like just having.
Oh well, hey, my name's Jake, and maybe I don't know. I don't know how to prove I'm not, and then it doesn't really.
I'm sorry, I've had a bit drink, but I just...
It's a fair question, or a fair... You just make... It's an opinion. I sound like him, and for all you know, I could be him. I mean, I'm not.
Which would be really cool, to be honest.
Which I think would be really funny. But who do you... Because I was, like, immersed in Flat Earth for a little while, but who do you pay attention to? Because I'm just curious as to who is about now. Because it was, like, say, probably about 2-3 years ago was the last time I had any interaction, like, with the people on YouTube, you know, who were involved. And I just wonder, is there anyone involved now that you pay attention to, or do you not really pay attention to anybody?
The only person I really listen to as far as, I put it in quotes, flat earth would be, a gentleman by the name of Dell from Scotland on Beyond the Imaginary Curve.
He is the worst. Don't you feel that he's like very cult-like, him and his group? That was the feeling I had. Like everyone just jumped on. If anyone disagreed with him, everybody would just jump on that poor person. And it wasn't necessarily disagreeing. You know, it was just maybe having an alternative view on things.
But
he's been around then. Is he still doing his thing? Is he still shouting in the shed?
Did I cut out?
A little bit,
You're back.
My apologies. Yes, he does a show like once every Saturday. But really, the whole reason I even still listen to him is two reasons, actually. One, he doesn't believe the Earth is flat. And two, he's never contradicted himself that I've caught. And really what he talks about is like the trivium and how we got into this mess, the psychology behind it all. He only puts Flat Earth in the titles just when it was buzzing around like 2015 to 17. The actual Flat Earth, I'm in agreement with him that the Flat Earth is the PSYOP and the Earth is not a globe. So it's just sort of, let's try to figure out what our reality really is. You know, like anybody, he can come across wrong. Some people can't even understand his accent, but that's why I think that more people that are talking about sort of these types of issues, whether they be sort of questioning the government or questioning NASA or whatever people want to look into, as many different voices, saying it in as many different ways is ideal, because we need to remember, what I believe is that, like, what I've experienced is the majority of the people are pretty superficial, and they will judge books by their cover. So as long as all the books are trying to get the same message across, it doesn't really matter so much how it gets across. So I can, like, I would never go around. I'm not trying to promote Del. You just ask me who I listen to, if that makes sense. And that's who I like, how he talks. I can relate to what he's saying. And, you know.
Yeah. Do you mind putting a link in the show notes to his website?
Oh, yes, I could certainly do that. Yeah, just his YouTube channel. That's all he uses. So.
Yes, but if you give me the name of the YouTube channel, I will post it right now. So.
Oh, Beyond the Imaginary
Curve.
On the Imaginary Curve. I have a link right here. I'll post it.
Okay. So okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
sometimes people are not really excellent. I'm not so familiar with Discord, so I always propose to do this myself. It may spare a few minutes, but it's there. I can see it. I can consult it. Everything is fine.
I'm somewhat...
I look forward to listening to your chat with Ab, because it's always, I understand that it's always easier to give an idea of your thought when it's not like a free-for-all and everyone is asking you different questions and everything, but... it's just that we are fascinated by everything that is related to media fakery and everything. So each and every once some news came in, we always have some sorts of questions.
Well, yes, I don't mind if anyone has any specific questions for me. I'm in a pretty much open book anyways, at least on my thoughts and opinions on the world, yeah, for sure. But, do you guys hear me? I was on that show today with Fakeologist. I just sent him a message just... I knew he was from the same place I am. You mentioned that I was from London, England. It's actually London, Ontario, in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not in the UK. I think you had said that earlier in this conversation.
I cannot remember who did that, but yeah. Yeah, obviously, this incident with people getting rolled over by a car in London, Ontario. Oh, there is a bumper. She wore a surgical mask on her face, walking
around at the grocery store, a silly piece of cloth on her face. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. A surgical mask on her face.
Interesting. So that happens even when he's not online?
yes. It's even if there is no one in the room, in the end, it's keep on doing that. But it's also it's not the worst thing, because it helps a little bit sometimes slow the conversation down. And once again, it's not the worst. And everyone should that has the means to do it should donate to Fakeologist, because he's running a great thing around here, one of the best in that circle, if I may say. But yeah, every time someone new is here, it's fascinating. It gives a different perspective, and it goes to show that all this is not for nothing. New people keep coming in, and we can propagate the idea and have a discussion. Well, me personally, I'm not, I have, like I said earlier, I have absolutely no definite opinion on the shape of the Earth. But I will say that the most ridiculous movement in the conspiracy world, apart from the anti-vaxxer, and that before even COVID, is the flat Earth movement. So that may be a thing that is a sign that there is something to it, because you don't ridicule people that you don't need to ridicule. If the idea is that stupid, you don't need to push the fact that it's stupid. It should impose itself on each and everyone.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't ban Bigfoot videos, so...
Yes, have you watched
or Loch Ness Monster?
Karen B, she's all over the Bigfoot thing, isn't she? You know Karen B from...
I essentially just assume every single flat earther on YouTube is shill, controlled op, or just not very logical.
Yeah. Which is a fair point.
I don't consider myself a flat earther.
Really? But you have flat earth in your name, and I'm always very suspicious of people who are like, yeah, I'm flat earth Dave, I'm flat earth Colin, flat earth Stacey. I always find that really odd.
Well, that's because you're judging books by its cover. That's an ad hominem, so you shouldn't do that. I'm more than happy to let people make mistakes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I even have a shirt that says,
You're Tim Rosman, the skeptic. Who I listened to, actually. You helped me get out of Flat Earth, so fair play to you. But seriously, I think that you're just having a dust, which is great, and then it's great. I mean, but to put Flat Earth in your name and then be like, hey, don't judge a book by its cover. I mean, come on. You put it in your title of your name.
Yes.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know. It's just coincidental, isn't it?
What a coincidence.
Maybe you are reading a little bit into it.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. What did you say, Benoit? Sorry.
I was saying, dear, that maybe you are reading too much into it. Or maybe you are right. I don't know. It will depend on the... It will depend on a lot of factors. And if I was with you in the flesh, I will have a better idea if you are really seriously believing that. But
it doesn't even matter. I mean, it's entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah, but you get to realize one thing. I'm not trying to be contrary to you, obviously. I am at this point, but trying for the sake of it. But I will have to say that Ab spoke with Tim Osman a few days ago, and that he also spoke with Jacqua. And at no point he mentioned to me that those were the same person. So, and he's pretty good at this game. So in that regard, I think that we may have to go with Ab reasoning in that occasion, since he spoke with both individual and they are not the same for
maybe, but I was more immersed in it than Ab was, to be honest. But do you know what I mean?
Yes, but I mean, he spoke to them both this week, this exact week.
I don't know about that. It's still entertaining. Anyway.
Hey, I don't know. It's a great answer. I like that. That's perfect. Yeah, not knowing. You have some questions and you're skeptical. That's great. That's a good thing.
And not knowing is great because you can still learn.
Yeah, no disrespect to you, Jacqua. You know, I'm not being horrible or anything. I suppose I'm just like thinking, oh, I'm just trying to chew out here or whatever. But I mean, and even so, it doesn't matter. But to me, I find the Flat Earth interesting, but not necessarily as a topic like I did a few years ago, but as a dynamic, you know, I find it really fascinating. And I mean dynamic as in how it was on YouTube, like you mentioned before in 2015, you know, over that period of time when it was everywhere, you know, and I just wondered if you were a part of that, you know, if you were a part of that and you kind of detached yourself from some channels, because that's what I found I did. I just detached myself one by one until I just wasn't paying attention anymore, because primarily for me, I got into Flat Earth by accident because I was looking for people to speak to about the other conspiracies, you know, like the forum we have here we can talk about, but Flat Earth just saturated the internet at that point. It just took over. It was everywhere. So I just wonder if you had that same experience.
I definitely just accidentally came across it. It was actually because of Shaquille O'Neal saying the Earth was flat that I even bothered to look into it, because it's just so ridiculous. I figured, why is he even saying this? And, you know, I went to the Flat Earth Society website. The frequently asked questions said something about the Earth moving upwards, 9.8 feet per second. And, to me at the time, it was so ridiculous that that couldn't have been the real reason why people would say or think the Earth is flat. So I was like, okay, why are they actually thinking it? There must be something else that's more compelling. So I bypassed the Flat Earth Society and just kept looking more. And I'll be honest, when I first heard of it, or it took a couple weeks and I became a flat earther. And I was believing in ice walls. I was, you know, believing in a dome maybe, but it took about 6 months, and then Dell was one of the ones that was pointing out the trivium and about logical fallacies. I eventually found Mark Passio, where he got more into that. Like, the trivium is essentially just the scientific method. And so when I saw that the flat earth was simply a new belief system for those people that no longer believe the globe, I could then be able to distinguish and say, oh, both of these are wrong. And the answer is not going to be just handed to me in a silver platter. This is something that needs to be investigated, like what's actually going on here. So I'm not a flat earther. I think they're both wrong. I'm not sure how long ago I first made a Discord chat, but, you know, putting flat earth in the name, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I still have a flat earth shirt. Well, I'm just saying, I had a flat earth shirt that I had made. That's all it says. And I still wear it, though, because if anyone asks me, oh, you think the Earth's flat, and I go, no, and they say, well, why are you wearing the shirt? And then I say, well, I'm trying. So if they ask why I'm wearing the shirt.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Okay, so I'm going to mute now. Okay.
Yes, I like the idea of sparking the debate, so it's something like that. It's not the worst.
So and, when you say you don't believe the Earth is flat, but you exactly do assume that. But you do assume the Earth is flat.
We all know through experience the Earth isn't flat because there's hills and valleys. Flat Earth is a term that's used represent...
Let me be more...
Yep.
We all assume that the Earth, that water, undisturbed body of water, will, the surface of an undisturbed body of water will lie flat and horizontal.
I agree.
And we all assume that the Earth is unmoving.
I do not assume that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you an example then. When is it, for any practical purpose, that you don't assume the Earth is still?
Under what circumstances do I not think the Earth is still?
Yeah, for a practical purpose, you know, like just some practical purpose.
I can give you a great example, actually. I may not be able to word it that great, but I'll do my best. So essentially, I got to lead you there a little bit, but what would you say? I don't want to ask too many questions because I don't want to meander too much. But the only real way to create motion is through a push. There's no such thing as pulling force. Suppose I can ask, would you agree with that? And if not, can you think of an example of a force pulls?
But before we go to the more, you know, the reasons and, you know, trying to discuss the mechanisms, I'm just asking you for an example in your life, your practical life, you personally, where you have had to account for the spin of the Earth.
No.
Or motion of any kind.
No.
So in that regard, I can now say that you assume that the Earth is not moving for all practical purposes.
You can definitely assume that I think that, yes.
Okay, that's
my guess.
Yeah.
Not true, but I don't assume. I don't think
okay.
that. But.
So the reason I know that that's now you've proven me correct is I can make the statement. I can make the statement, and because you can't contradict me, then that statement, until proven false, will hold to be true.
Okay, unicorns are real. And if you can't disprove me, then it's true.
But there's no, I'm talking about a practical, so I don't care if you think unicorns are real, but there's no practical application for me of your view. But what I know.
I didn't even try to tell you my view yet.
Okay, but here is the point I'm making. For all, anything you do when you fly in a plane or whatever it is, you assume that the Earth is not moving. You don't ever make any allowance for movement of the Earth in calculating how you travel from New York to Los Angeles or back again. There's no accounting for any movement of the Earth. So you
therefore, okay. So you don't think it's moving. Okay. I don't care. You can.
It's not about what I think. It's about what we assume. When we make practical decisions about how to function in the world, right? How we function, or the things we do, the things we take into account. As a practical person, when you're trying to build something or when you're trying to travel or when you're trying to work out where to put your feet, one foot in front of another, you are always assuming that the Earth beneath you stays still. You don't make any allowance for any movement.
In relation to me, yeah, for sure. The Earth doesn't move around under my feet, no.
Yeah, so there's no time when you try and make some kind of estimate about what's going on with the world in terms of it moving, is there?
I feel like we're in an argument, but I haven't made a claim. What are you discounting that I've said?
Well, what I said to you is that you always assume that the Earth is not moving, and you said, no, I don't. So we are arguing. We are arguing because I'm saying you do assume the Earth is not moving. You just won't accept it. You have cognitive – I'm going to suggest to you that you have cognitive dissonance.
Maybe I do.
But that's all.
I must say that I don't feel any perception that the Earth is moving.
It's not even just a perception, Benoit. You never, ever apply any mathematical or practical allowance for movement. No one does. As in the same way that no one makes any practical allowance for anything other than that a body of water will lie flat and horizontal.
May I ask you a question, sir?
Of course.
If you're wrong, would you want to know?
Of course.
Perfect. Well, then, maybe you shouldn't interrupt me when I'm trying to explain my stance.
Sure, but okay, but as long as, I mean, by all means, but in the end, if it's if it's requiring some kind of, if it allows me, if you're going to give me something that allows you even to make a calculation, please go ahead. But go ahead anyway. Go and make your explanation. I'm just curious.
No, I already tried and you interrupted me, but I got a link for a video that's on my channel. Can I post it into the, I lied to post it in the live stream notes. I don't know. What, can I?
Sure, but, I'm just going to say to you now that I think
you
it's can a little
whatever
bit,
you
think
want
it's a little
in the
bit,
live stream note if you think it's relevant.
Oh,
I think you're being a bit precious. Why don't you try now? I assure you that I won't interrupt you.
You're right, because I'm not going to start.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm just going to say you're being a bit precious.
My question in that, okay, so I have a question. Does the video you are about to post need the image to be clear enough or just the audio? Because I can play it on audio here right now.
Oh, this would be more something that anyone who's interested can look at in their own time. This is, I'm looking at the video. It's like an hour and 4 minutes. This is from Dell Beyond. Yeah, this is just not something I'm trying to prove right now in this conversation. Mm-hmm. But anyone who watches this and has it explained, I would think is lying to themselves if they didn't say it was possible. And that's all. And if you're not interested, that's fine. I mean, this is just, I don't have the, I'm not an expert at putting an hour long video into words without like on the spot like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But as much as I enjoy Frank and everything, I must say that Flat Earth is really his thing. So, of course, he's enthusiastic about the topic. And in the end, he seems to have a point, really, most of the time. So we cannot fault him for asking all these questions because that's something that he's really passionate about. And he has a very, very strong opinion. And since he's very intelligent, he knows how to defend his opinion in the best manner.
I'm confused. Are you talking about me or the other guy? I don't know anyone's name.
No, Frank.
Frank.
Which is Arnold.
I'm the guy called an anthropologist.
You, I cannot say much because I don't know you at all, so I cannot have a definite opinion on your personality type yet.
Right, of course. I think... okay, who... Anybody here ever heard of the... I sort of mentioned it there about the Flat Earth Society, about the Earth moving up.
Yes, I've heard that story. I think it's ridiculous.
Did you think it was just
not moving up, but also accelerating at the rate of gravity acceleration?
I thought, okay, so, but, you know, that's the first thing I saw, too, and I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Now, it's ridiculous, and we all knew it right away, and we didn't even have to think about it. It was so ridiculous, right?
Yeah, sorry, no, that's not true. I had to think about it.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, that doesn't make any sense and it's not necessary. But it seems consistent with the idea that the Flat Earth Society is a kind of place set up to make the idea of Flat Earth ludicrous.
Exactly. And that's why they could put it right in the fact, on the very right in the FAQ, right in the first and second question, and it would be immediately dismissed by everybody without really delving into it. And that's the video I can show you. And if you're not, that's just, I can post it, and if you want to look into it, fine. If you don't, I really don't care if anyone wants to look into it or not. That's fine. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to push this. It's not like I said, hey, let's talk about Flat Earth, everybody. I didn't even bring it up. You guys just assumed because of the name.
Oh, what I was interested in because, as Ben Ross says, I'm super interested in it. And I just wanted to check with you, what do you call it, sniff test, is the question that I asked you, do you realize that you assume that the Earth is both flat and unmoving for all practical purposes that you have, you know? And
practical purposes? For sure, yes. Well.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Tom Arnold, and the world is full of true lies. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Is that you?
Hey. Oh, that was a...
That was Lost Spider Fabius, great guy. And apparently he has a great way to imitate the terrible actor Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold. Alright.
Alright, well I'll let you have a free hand. I'm going to go and walk the dog. I was just curious to ask you that question.
I want to say that we can disagree on the shape of the Earth, but we cannot disagree that Tom Arnold is a terrible actor.
See, as long as we can find out the things that we agree on, I think we'll, that's a better approach maybe, yeah, for sure.
All right.
That's definitely more interesting, in my opinion.
Ciao, Bella.
See you, Frank.
Yes.
Bye, Frank. Nice to meet you.
Yes, right, I will also leave now because it's almost 1:30 p.m. where I am, and if I want to have a correct Saturday tomorrow, I will have to get some sleep anyway.
All right. Well, thanks for hosting, I guess. Yeah, that's kind of neat that this is available. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for your participation, and thanks everyone else that joined us. We went a little bit over everything. It was not really, structured or anything, but it was good nonetheless. I think that it was very interesting, and yeah, once again, I'm always fascinated to hear new people and all those things. So since the lovely Heather, okay, Sky Larkin, sent me a link to something that was of interest, I will finish by playing that if I manage to get something. Yes.
I ask you about that, because I was on the show Fakeologist this morning. Is there a way I can find that to listen to it? Because I wanted to hear how I sounded.
Yes.
Okay,
what will happen is that in a few hours, it should be rendered. I will Ab say that before he get to bed, he will render it, and it will be on the subsection Fakeologist blog on this same server.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you too. Bye bye.
Yeah. Take care. Have a good night.
Okay. No. Et voilà, we will end with that. And of course it won't play because why would we will end on absolutely nothing because apparently a video that is age restricted will not be played by the bot. So bye everyone, and Rick and Rollo will be on in a few hours, about 7-8 hours probably. Bye everyone and sleep well.
Bye.
Yes, bye.
That's all, folks.